see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this dark night. I can't feel nothing but this chain that grinds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-mile stone. On my shoulder, half mile line. Come on.
That's right. You heard the shotgun. That means nothing else other than the AK-47 show.
Yes, new on Patriots Radio.
Although a shotgun is not an AK-47.
I don't think we have an AK-47, though.
Effort to get that later in the show.
I will.
This is Andy Hart, formerly of PFW in Progress, but I'm jumping over. Spinoff program with the PFW in Progress producer, Kevin.
Nice to be with you guys.
Tom Collins.
Yes, Tom, Phil, Steve.
Big day here, Gillette Stadium. John Rook in the air as we speak, flying to a college football game in an undisclosed city.
Yeah, he'll be back on Thursday. I think we have Chris Price of WEEI in tomorrow.
Chris Price?
Yes.
Not just WEEI, but a number of best-selling books, or at least selling books. He's written a number of books in his career.
So he has many leather-bound books.
Yes, he has many leather-bound books with his own name on it, which is something I aspire to one day. But we're going to take you through the next 2 hours or... Yeah, I may leave early. Who knows? It's 2 to 4 o'clock, though, here on Patriots.com Radio.
We'll get through some emails.
Sandwiched in between PFW in Progress and heading into the Pete Shepard Show, which is drawing rave reviews all across the internet. Pete Shepard here on Patriots.com breaking down maybe the most interesting slash exciting week the Patriots have had in quite some time. Not only
good news
are
out
they...
of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Well, good news out of the National Football League is the New England Patriots are almost unanimously... the best team in football, depending on who you ask.
Except according to Fred.
You know, Fred Kirsch, the ultimate homer, for some reason has them in the two slot behind the Steelers. But they are the only team in the National Football League at this point with a single loss. Heading into a road trip to the Browns, a little bit of a new situation for them where they are the clear-cut favorite in the game going on the road. How does this young squad deal with, I guess the word, adversity in terms of success? The expectation of you're the best team, go prove you're the best team, win easy on the road. It won't be a good sign if this game and it comes down to a 23-20 late field goal like some of the other recent games.
Yeah.
You know, I know the Browns surprised the world, surprised Drew Brees a couple weeks ago before the bye. Four interceptions, couple returned for touchdowns, big upset of the Super Bowl champs. But they are a 2-5 football team. They are the inferior football team. They lack what we always say is such a great thing to have here. A quarterback, a franchise quarterback. I believe they've started five different quarterbacks since Mangini's been there in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Right now they have three quarterbacks, which means they have none.
None.
They have Colt McCoy, which is my guess you will see the reins kind of be turned over to him for the rest of the season.
Closer by committee except for quarterback by
QB
committee.
QB by committee is not good. It's terrible. It'll cost quarterbacks their jobs, coaches their jobs. It'll lead to rebuilding processes, and that's what the Browns are in a little bit here. Mike Holmgren era, Eric Mangini era or error, depending on how you look at it. But that's a different show for a different website. This is not Browns.com. This is Patriots.com. And we are going to continue to take your emails here, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And the phone number, without the help of a paper, 508-543-7482. If you want to join the program, which we are for the day dubbing the AK-47 show. Get it? See, that's Andy and Kevin. We take the first initial of each of the first names. We call it AK-47. I know some of you people who struggled over the years with Adalys Thomas's nickname, AD, Adrian Peterson's nickname, AD, may struggle, but this is the AK-47 show here on Patriots.com Radio, filling in for John Rook and the playbook. What does Rook usually do on Tuesdays? What's the general Tuesday playbook?
His kind of mantra for the day is nitpick Tuesday, and he likes to kind of go over what goes wrong.
Really?
Yeah, with the previous week's game. Even if they win,
they're 6-1.
Yeah, I know, but he calls it nitpick Tuesday. That's his shtick.
That's very negative.
He's not very negative. He's just.
Nitpick Tuesday. His format is based on nitpicking regardless of the results of the previous weekend.
Well, it's called Patriots Playbook, and he likes to look at it from a coach's perspective, and no game's perfect.
He's not a coach.
Oh, that's debatable.
So he nitpicked in Miami, where they got contributions in all three phases and had a huge road win.
We nitpick every week, and so do the listeners. They write in their nitpicks.
I didn't say it's not possible. I think it's a bit negative.
I'm,
Is he trying to balance us out because PFW and Progress is so positive? Such a homer show?
I think that's what it is. Positives and negatives.
Wow.
But
he is followed by Pete Shepard, who I'm assuming is a pretty positive show.
Yeah. I don't produce that show most weeks. I've done it once. And
who produces that show?
Jason produces that
show. No, he's going to step in for the big show.
He does.
Not the big show. That was his former employer. Sorry. It's the Pete Shepard show.
Let's not get Pete upset already here.
Okay. I'm going to open the floor to you right now. Since it's Nitpick Tuesday.
But what I was getting at, Andy, was he just... Maybe nitpick's the wrong word. It's just the word John likes to use, but he likes to...
bad if you have a show that you call something and the word you use is the wrong word.
He likes to look at the areas which the football team can improve going forward.
Okay, let you be the nitpicker, and as Mike Mayock would say, pick some nits here.
Yes.
Proceed and pick some nits for the Patriots after Sunday's 28-18 win over the Minnesota Vikings, in which the defense yet again came up big and a little bit of a new twist... The running game ran out the clock on the 4-minute drive. Now, see, this is where we're going to have an issue because I just heard the phone ring, and yep. I'm asking you a question to speak, and you're looking over at the phone. But proceed. Pick some nits.
I'm with you definitely on the offense. I didn't get really a chance to sound off on this on PFW, but I think it's been pretty bad.
I do, too.
And the other 2-3, we don't really know what Eric was thinking because he wasn't here. He doesn't feel the need to join us.
He would have said it's bad. He's actually been on the Brady has been bad bandwagon a little bit of late, which I jump ship on. You can get that if you want. I'll continue to talk. Eric Scalavino, we all know him as Eric Negativino on PFW in Progress. He has been a little bit down on Tom Brady. I have by no means agreed with him. I think Tom Brady is having a very tremendous year, both on and off the field. I think he right now needs to be the leading candidate for the NFL MVP award, doing it in a variety of ways. You know, some big plays early, a little bit of a downfield offense when Moss was here, losing his number one receiver, an issue that I think on some teams, some quarterbacks may have been a distraction and may have hurt the team. And now kind of living here with a lot of change on offense, kind of learning to an identity on the run here as to what this offense will be. And the other point I'd want to make out is he does not have a single receiver right now on this team that is a known commodity. And I am including Wes Welker in that mix because coming off the ACL surgery and injury that ended last season, and despite his surprisingly quick rehab process, he's not what he was. He's a different player. So every receiver that is at the disposal of Tom Brady is an unknown. You start with Welker. Deion Branch is injured. Different guy, different system. Not the same guy he was back when Brady knew him the first time and has only been here a couple weeks. Julian Edelman has barely played and is a young guy. You don't know what you're going to get. Brandon Tate, never been on the field really on offense except for that slight stretch last year, including when he ran the wrong route in London. The tight ends completely overhauled from Crumpler, Gronkowski, Hernandez. Brady has been surrounded by an entire new cast of receivers essentially this year and, in my opinion, has had a great year in dealing with the situation. But Eric Scalavino, a little down on number 12, and also down on the offense a little bit, is Kevin Collins, who's back from his day job answering the phone and would now like to chime in and pick some nits.
Getting back to the offense, like you said, they just haven't moved the ball since Randy's been gone. And, you know, being kind of a fantasy dork like B-Lo and having Wes Welker on my team and seeing the drastic change
8 yards
in numbers,
a catch.
It's killing me.
8 yards a catch.
It's
That's what he's
me.
Averaging for the season. It's what he averaged on Sunday.
His number of catches have plummeted since he's
his
gone.
Number of catches. Now, it's hard to say why that is because there's two schools of thought. A, he's coming back from a major knee injury, and he's not the same guy. And he said, I'm not physically at 100%. I'm not the same guy.
But look at the games he had when Moss was here for the four games.
Well, but his numbers were still a little bit down.
The first game was awesome.
But now you're talking about he also has to perform without Moss in a different role. And as we said on PFW in Progress, Brandon Tate has not yet taken over the reins in that deep threat role, despite a big game on Sunday on some broken plays.
He made
broken plays.
That was
both catches for big yards were broken catches, broken type plays.
It was in a situation where he was one-on-one and was able to just basically simply run away from somebody.
Well, my favorite part of the 65-yarder was he caught the ball and immediately took it to the safety.
Yeah.
He knew what he wanted to do. He was cutting
right
it back, and the guy pooped himself.
And it was impressive, you know, being down on the field, down on the Patriot bench. Once he actually secured the football, seeing him open it up full throttle.
But you know what's funny? People claim, and I need to check this out, the claim is on him that his 40 time, Now, remember, he was injured as in his final year at North Carolina, didn't go to the combine. His 40 time on record was 4.55, I believe, or 4.52. And that is not fast. That is not breakaway speed fast. I mean, we're talking about guys in the NFL that run 4.3s, 4.27s, 4.29s, and the 40 on record.
4.52.
Yeah, 4.52 is, that's linebacker fast. That's Gary Guyton type fast. That's not elite game-changing returner type fast. But you're right, when he's on the football field, I think if some scientist could break down his 40 time now for Brandon Tate on the football field, I gotta think he's a guy that's capable of running at least 4.4, high 4.3s, 40, because he breaks away.
When you look on the flip side, the guy that was kind of, you know, his on the opposite side of the field, Percy Harvin, posted a 4.39.
Right.
So that's what you're looking
right
at, with that elite type of receiver.
But Brandon Tate, tremendous. How do we get to Brandon Tate? I thought we were supposed to be picking nits here. This is Nitpick Tuesday. We're not supposed to be positive.
Well,
We were.
You know, he made plays, but they were broken plays. They weren't plays where, you know, Brady dropped back, three-step drop, five-step drop, and boom, ball's out on time, hits him.
We haven't really seen
a whole lot of that.
I'm still not sure he's capable of filling that role, I'll be honest with you.
And the fact that Deion Branch just pretty much disappeared, I mean, whether it was injury-related or not, and, you know, I don't like to pick on a lot of the smaller players who are getting jacked up these days for going out of bounds, but when he ran out of bounds,
I think that was all injury.
Yeah, he could have easily, anybody else.
He almost limped out of bounds. It was almost like a hitch to his gait there.
You could have turned that upfield for another 10 yards if you wanted to.
Well, to be fair, I'm not sure even the old Deion Branch, when healthy 5 years ago, would have done that.
He's not that type of player.
A little guy. He knows when to get down. Yes. Yeah. He knows when to turtle. He knows when to save himself.
And it's not
smart, too, with a guy of his injury history.
And I'm not one of those guys that's going to criticize the Marvin Harrisons, the Wes Welkers, for getting down, because I understand, you know, and that's their livelihood. They're just trying to make a check over the course of not just 2 or 3 years.
Right.
10 years.
Danny Woodhead.
I'm not going to criticize
him. I've been actually keeping an eye on Danny Woodhead to see if he's going to be one of those guys who has the ability, the capabilities, to always seemingly avoid the big hit, to make it a glancing blow instead of a direct blow.
And then, you know, the same people that will criticize those guys for doing that will marvel at, you know, how they're not injury prone.
Right.
Well, that's why they're not injury prone.
Right, right. You know, Wes Welker is the interesting guy. I think he took a lot of hits,
He's taking some pops.
And
that Ryan Clark.
He's gotten up more often than not. And ironically, we all pointed out the time he didn't get up was non-contact injury. His knee just blew out.
Yeah.
He has been remarkable to catch, what was the number, 346 passes in a three-year span.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous to be as healthy as he was at his size and his style underneath where he has to catch the ball. So,
but overall, Andy, I'm concerned about him right now, whether it's knee-related or whether it's Moss-related. The production was kind of there in week one, has been kind of slowly decreasing. And then on the flip side, if you look at what Percy Harvin's done since Moss cut to Minnesota,
right,
I can't help but thinking there's a direct correlation there.
So that brings us to the question of the day. And again, it's webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, if you want to send in an email. No John Rook, no playbook today. It's the AK-47 show. We should get Jake Ingram to come down, because then it would be A and K and 47. Plus, we could ask him about, you know, some of his struggles of late with his long... That's a shotgun.
AK-47
is like a machine
gun. It's an automatic
gun.
Weapon, you're right.
It's an automatic Soviet
weapon,
right?
It's a military
weapon,
yep.
It's a Soviet military automatic weapon, and we got a freaking one-barrel shotgun
over here. We might be able to arrange Jake Ingram for future shows, because I actually kind of hang out with him a lot on the sideline.
I would take him, then.
He's a good man.
If we ever have another AK-47 show, I want him here.
Him and Zoltan kind of warm up right in front of where I generally stand during a game when I'm communicating with Jason or Doc to all
you made that
listeners.
Sound kind of gay. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. They're just warming up.
You know, most people talk about, you know, the cheerleaders warm up near me. It's pretty cool. You're Jake Ingram and Zoltan Esko warm up in front of me.
It's funny you actually mentioned that, because my parents were at the game on Sunday, and I met up with them after the game. And my dad's thinking, you know, he's commenting to me after the game. He's like, man, those cheerleaders, they looked awesome. And he's like, I noticed you were standing right next to them with your back to them most of the game. You'd rather watch the bench in the game than the cheerleaders, like literally 2 feet away from you.
Well, I always think about that, and we're getting way off topic here, but we will rein this back in a minute. You see a lot of security guards, especially on TV, like primetime games, security guards standing literally right next to the cheerleaders with their back to them. And I'm thinking,
how can you do that?
I couldn't do that.
Self-control.
I would be fired, because I'd have to turn around and check out every cheerleader. Especially places like Miami and some of the ridiculously hot babes on some of these sidelines.
San Diego,
Oakland, New England. We have a fine set of cheerleaders.
Yeah, we do. It's just, you know, we kind of get robbed as we get into the season.
Yeah, they get like six games
weather.
And then They got to put their sweatsuits
on. I mean,
you can't see the goods.
I give them credit because it was pretty damn cold out there on this Sunday, especially as the sun went down and the stadium was engulfed.
Oh, and early on, some of them didn't have too much on in their costumes.
They went the whole first half in their costumes.
That girl in that red getup.
I give them credit for not putting on the sweatsuits after the first quarter.
I need your answer to the question of the day. And the question of the day here at Patriots.com Radio, 508-543-7482. If you want to give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. I forgot to dub it the Ace Ticket Hotline the first time I mentioned it, although unlike Fred Kirsch, I got the number right. The question of the day, would you or wouldn't you? And no, it's not about some hot babe. It's about Randy Moss. Would you take him back? I don't know that he's officially been released as of yet, but the Vikings are going to waive Randy Moss. He will pass through waivers. Patriots would have the last opportunity to claim him. But if he clears waivers and becomes a free agent, would you take Randy Moss back on your football team if you had the opportunity? Kevin Collins, your email's clicking away in there. Would you take Randy Moss?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. It's the right answer.
Would you?
Of course I would. I said it on PFW Progress. I'll say it again. I think getting Randy Moss now after clearing waivers is much like getting him the first time. In my mind, you are getting a broken man. He learned that the grass is not greener on the other side. He learned what he had. The old saying, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yep.
He didn't know what he had here in New England. That press conference where he was getting choked up, saluting Bill Belichick, saluting his teammates, missing the hell out of those teammates.
Yeah.
To me, that was from the heart.
Every helmet in that locker room.
He regrets every second that he's away from this team. I think you'd get the perfect soldier back again.
The interesting thing about this is, Andy, have you ever seen a future Hall of Fame athlete make such a kind of an egregious mistake and then admit it so quickly?
Yes.
So quickly. A month. It took was a month.
I'm not, I'd have to think further back. This is an unprecepted situation.
Yeah, usually these guys have a big enough head where they're not going to admit they made a mistake. And they'll just kind of laugh and kick and scream their way out of any situation.
And he wasn't that. He was, tears, borderline choked up.
And he said that when he was waving, as he was running off the field, he stopped for a minute. He waved to all four sections of the stadium and, patted on his heart and, waved to the crowd. And he said that he had a tear in his eye.
He actually said he shedded a tear. Which I enjoyed.
He done shed a tear.
Should we get to some emails here?
Sure, shoot it.
Ah, the first half hour of the show is just flying by. The AK-47 show. That's better. I don't know if it's really an AK-47, but I like it.
It was free.
Andy Hart from PFW and Progress. Progress. It's a podcast, so it's Progress. Joined alongside by, he's actually still behind the glass, not exactly alongside.
Steve Phil.
What do you want to go by?
No, I like my real name.
You want to have a radio name?
No, I like my real name.
What is that?
Kevin.
Kevin Collins, the producer of PFW in Progress, the assistant director or something of Day of Game Entertainment. He does stuff there.
Even my boss doesn't exactly know what my title should be.
Partially responsible for the tremendous addition to Game Day Entertainment here at Gillette Stadium, an idea that has its roots in PFW in Progress. Foghorn.
And we do want to get it out there. We do want to get it out there to the people, though, that we weren't just aimlessly playing it. I read on some blogs and such forth over the last 48 hours, some people who were at the game were confused as to how we were using it. They were like, well, they didn't play it when they scored or kicked it.
Okay, do tell then.
So, no, I mean, I didn't think it took a rocket scientist to figure out. We used it when the Patriots were on defense, and it was either a third down, a big play in the game, the Vikings were backed up, or a goal, fourth and goal from the one-inch line. We used it as sort of like a way to get the crowd jacked up
and
get
worked.
Them out of it.
No, every time I heard it play, the reaction was fans getting up and yelling.
And Jason also came up with a great idea to show the actual.
I don't know if it was great.
Well, the lighthouse to just try to further emphasize what the sound actually was on the Jumbotron. So we're using it to try to get the crowd jacked up on third downs or big plays where the Patriots are on defense, not necessarily when they score.
So you are taking credit on some level for the goal line stand at the end of the first half that not only may have swayed the momentum in the game, but may have ended up in Randy Moss getting waived by the Vikings.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm okay with that. Let's get to the emails. Quick one from our friend Derek in the University of Arizona. And again, some of these are left over from PFW in Progress. I think John Rook often does that on Nitpick Tuesday.
Well, we want to make sure we address everybody here. We appreciate the listeners taking
the
time.
You take the time to send an email, give us a phone call, what have you. We are going to address it. We discriminate against no one on this show. Well, except maybe Eric, because we don't really like him. Derek, University of Arizona. Hey, guys. An NFL spokesman just told Ian Rapp, who's Rappaport of the Rap Sheet of the Boston Herald, that when the Patriots sign Logan Mankins, they're eligible for a two-game roster exemption. Yes, that is often the case. Many times teams do not use the full two-week, two-game roster exemption, but It is possible that that could be the case. That's why when the release came out today that Moss had indeed reported and signed his tender, there was no subsequent roster move because the Patriots are at 53 men on the 53-man roster. And at whatever time he is activated to play in a game, they will need to release, waive, IR, make some other subsequent move. Anyway, next up, Gene in Dayton Beach. Hey, Fred. It's not Fred, it's Andy. Let's see. Andy Hart, Kevin Collins, the AK-47 show. If we get Randy back, could we trade him again for another third-round pick? No, you could not.
Recycling.
Because the trading deadline has passed. You cannot trade after the trading deadline. That's why they call it the trading deadline. It's the deadline upon which you must have all trades completed. Todd Porter up next. Todd in Nova Scotia, big PFW in progress favorite. Hey, Fred, again, it's not Fred, it's Andy, and it's Kevin Collins. I want to get Kevin Collins' name out there as often as possible, because on this show, it is about you, unlike PFW in Progress, where it's about me.
It is about you. It's
Thank
all
you.
About you.
It is. I'm a lot like Brett Favre and Randy Moss. It's about me. I am the show.
Yep.
Which is why Fred often considers cutting me.
Why don't you just host the show now? Why don't you just relieve Fred of his duties?
People do not like it when I host the show, actually.
No?
We've had a lot of feedback in the past.
Really?
I'm not a very good host.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you haven't done it since I've been here, so I can't really
pass
judgment.
No, that's because people had a lot of feedback in
the
past and didn't want me
but
to.
But the podcasts always seem to go well.
Well, I think I'm a good functional host.
Yeah.
But Fred, by design or by accident, steers the ship in a very interesting way, which leads to entertaining radio.
He does.
And I, on the other hand, I think I'm better in the secondary seat where I can kind of bounce off of what he does.
You interject with your football knowledge, whereas Fred can kind of connect with the audience because he kind of gives us a lot of... I don't know really how to put it.
Walk softly here.
But he's sort of like the common man of the radio show.
Which is ironic, since he lives in a ritzy neighborhood and drives a Cadillac and is not common.
That's why we like to have so much fun with the bits here. He's on so many of them, because with his great stories, it kind of keeps the... It's a good change-up to all the X's and O's and the football talk that
it's true.
You and Paul
You know,
provide.
We Paul and I try to provide football
yes,
talk.
You do.
And Fred balances that out with idiocy.
Hence why you're asked to be on so many other various media outlets to provide your insight with on the team.
Hence why some people have said, and I won't tell who, but they watched PFW in Progress television. No, excuse me, PFW TV, got to get the names right, on Comcast Sportsnet every Thursday at 7:30, by the way. Feel free to tune in.
And then again at 9.
Repeats often. The best way to watch it and make sure you keep up with it is to actually make it a series recording on your
DVR.
That's
what I do,
So I'd appreciate anyone who would go out and do that. But somebody asked me, hey, saw your show. It's PFW in Progress. It's the 3A, but it's really the Paul and Andy show with Fred, right?
Pretty much. Easy there, killer. Just swallow a frog over there. Now I got him laughing. And Andy's temporarily incapacitated here.
It's another reason why I don't host. I tend to get a tickle in my throat, which at some point you may need to pick up the emails. So keep your computer open to the emails if you could.
I got a little frog in my throat.
I do. It's a little tickle. How do real radio guys do that when they get a tickle, or do they just not get a tickle?
Oh, they have cough buttons, just like you exercised. If you're doing it solo, then it could be an awkward.
Well, I was
going to
say, what happens if
second
it
pause.
Persists? Do the radio producers have?
The producers must be able to help in and jump out like I am right here. As
you're not
dying.
A producer today. You're the
have you figured out what's wrong with you, by the
no,
way?
No.
Still not?
No. More tests coming up.
There's plenty of things wrong with you.
I'm going to be like a bad porn star and take one in the mouth this week. I'm getting an endoscopy.
There's a drop right there.
Endoscopy? Endoscopy?
Is that when they go down and look in your throat, deep in your throat?
They deep throat me, yep.
Yeah. Try to look for polyps and other things.
Early 6 a.m. on Wednesday.
Maybe that's what's wrong with you. Maybe you got some polyps down there clogging up your windpipe.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm starting to think I'm just...
How's your swallowing? Is it going well when you're eating and such forth, drinking?
Don't you worry about my swallowing.
I'm just curious.
I don't swallow. okay. Hey, Fred. Do the Patriots do any demographics on fans that attend games? Because the last two home games have been really quiet. We're going to go down this road, Todd, in Nova Scotia. They showed the crowd on TV, and it looks like a Republican National Convention. They look like Paul, all balding guys in their 50s. Paul's not in his 50s, the best part of this. Not even close.
That's actually an interesting question. It would be interesting to see the different demographics and how it was broken up as to...
Well, we have a pretty big department that does that kind of stuff upstairs.
Yeah,
maybe
I've
we should get
seen,
them on it.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything or any information on it.
It looks like they get pissed if anyone around them stands and cheers. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I'd blame the Crafts for building too small a stadium so ticket prices are too expensive. It's not really that small a stadium. 68,000 is a good-sized stadium in the National Football League. I know there are, you know, the 80,000 seat places like the Meadowlands. I think FedEx Field is up to 90,000, Dallas 100,000. But most stadiums, a lot of stadiums are right in that 70 range, you know, between 68 and 72. So
yeah.
I don't think the size of the stadium is an issue. If you want to criticize the design, maybe it's not enclosed, it's not sound friendly, maybe that's an issue. But I don't think in terms of seating capacity that that's a major issue on the crowd.
I actually had several people point out to me, you know, like, Andy, when we're at the game, we don't really see or get a chance to listen to the actual live game broadcast,
right,
which was on Fox this weekend. And it was our first Fox game of the year, I believe, because
yes,
we don't, you know, they have the NFC, and we generally
yep
aren't.
So we only get the visiting NFC game.
We probably get like two a year.
Yeah, it is two.
Yeah.
It's the two, you know, we play four teams in the NFC, two on the road, two at home, and those two home games
anyway,
are Fox games.
They were telling me, I DVR'd the game, as we were talking about DVR before, just to see if this is actually true. I like to go back and watch the game, little bits of the game anyway,
yep,
when I get home. But they said that it just seemed like their on-field microphones / crowd mics were very soft. Like, they were trying to, like, dub down the crowd so you could hear the announcers, kind of make the announcers sound more pronounced.
Hmm.
And whereas the
make
CBS...
Make them pronouncers.
The CBS, the CBS feed...
Doesn't work.
And the ESPN Monday night game seemed a lot louder. Like, their equipment on the field was jacked up more, so you could kind of get that sense like you're actually at the game.
I do notice that with CBS sometimes,
yeah,
that you can barely hear the announcers because they have
the
ambient noise or whatever
like
so loud. I do too, but there's a fine line to walk there.
It's true, and it makes me want to jack up my volume on the TV because it feels like you're almost, you get a better sense of the environment.
And I also think it matters, I've done some experimentation with this myself, if you're watching it and whether you have surround sound on or not. Because generally, if you have your surround sound on, you can hear the announcer better because he comes through that center channel speaker,
yeah,
and the surround sound's actually surrounding you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just watching it, if you just have your regular TV on through the speakers,
yeah,
it's like the surround sound that would normally be coming out is all coming out, kind of overshadows the announcers. It probably has to do with the channels and the way it squishes
it down.
Yeah,
but I definitely got more kind of complaints. I'll say complaints, honest complaints from people this week. That the viewing experience for those of you at home that were watching the game on Fox wasn't as good.
Well, that's good. So come to the games.
Come to the games.
That's what we're all about.
See the fog or the lighthouse and hear the foghorn.
You can't see the fog. There's not actually a visual of that, is there?
No, I don't know if you noticed, but on the Jumbotron, whenever they'd blast the foghorn, they'd show the lighthouse, and we had a strobe light in the lighthouse kind of flickering like a lighthouse.
I didn't notice, actually.
Oh, we'll take a peek next game.
But I did notice the sound and the light. Why does it keep saying restart now? I don't want to.
I don't know.
But
they definitely tried to give a visual representation on the Jumbotron to sort of enhance the, you know, kind of make people understand what the noise actually was supposed to be.
Bottom line is, he also says, or do you think New England is a natural front-running crowd and don't cheer as loud when they think the team is not championship material?
That's part of the problem. It's the whole Yankees theory. Like, we're not going to cheer unless it's October. Well, you know, the season starts in the playoffs.
Stupid. Unfortunately, I would just say I haven't ever seen a loud crowd here with consistency. Whether
no
they were winning 16 games, 14 games, 10 games, whatever.
Nope.
It is what it is. I don't have the answer.
And I think my biggest problem, Andy, is, I mean, the sound is obviously an issue, but the whole arriving late and leaving early is what bothers me the most. I mean, rock bottom for me was last year in that Ravens game. They ended up getting killed anyway. But, you know, I'm in the stands as a fan for the first time all year with my dad, up in the 300 level, which is supposed to be, you know, the Paul Perillo, blue collar, you know, hard hat, lunch pail guys. And I'm sitting there in basically a Ravens section with all these Ravens fans who drove up because they could get tickets because, you know, tickets were pretty easy to come by for that game, which is tough, you know, if you're a Patriots fan. And I'm sitting in the stands, and there's 26 seats in my row, and me and my father are the only two in our seats at kickoff. And that was rock bottom.
Was this an employee section?
No.
Oh.
This was just, I think it was a, you know how the visiting team will sell back or
right
give back some of their some tickets became available at the last second. I showed up at the box office, right place, right time.
Right.
And I'm sitting there by myself with my dad in a whole row of 26 or 24 other empty seats at kickoff.
Yeah.
Being heckled by Ravens fans who are like, you know, when we have playoff games down in Baltimore, heck, when we have preseason games, you can hear the roar, you know, when the team comes out of the helmet from three blocks away.
Blah, blah, blah. We just
win
here.
And I'm like, you and your purple.
That's where I would have turned into the homer.
Well,
we just win here.
That's exactly what I said. But and then I thought, geez, man, do I sound stuck up and spoiled?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
that's okay. Sometimes you need to pull it out. You need to pull it out a little bit. James in Pittsburgh, quick side note. I don't know if you've noticed these commercials on TV running. You see the new Oreos they have? One cookie is chocolate, the other cookie is vanilla.
I have not seen
those. With double stuff in the middle?
I'm going to have to pick some up, though.
I am intrigued.
I always like double stuff. I'm a big fan of the cream.
Because everybody likes the cream. No one really likes the cookie.
Yeah. You know, you always rip
it apart.
There's
a reason kids
get to the cream first.
Yeah. And kids, like my daughter's one, and she learned immediately that I'm going to rip this open and eat the stuff on the inside because that's the good stuff.
Exactly.
It's nature, not
nurture. What was she for Halloween?
Mickey. Oh, the irony.
Oh, no. Okay.
It made me feel better.
Yeah.
Because now it was kind of like, oh, the two siblings are doing the opposite thing. The boy's dressing as a girl and the girl's dressing as a boy.
Yeah, there you go.
That wasn't really the case. The boy
but you could play it
wanted
off.
To be Minnie, but yeah.
And hey, at least you were here. You didn't have to be there.
I didn't have to see it. I did see some pictures, but that's a different tale for a different day. James in Pittsburgh. How many times does an ex take someone back because they seem needy? Usually never, Patriots fans. Don't hold your breath. But as I've said in a previous email, the person who cares least in a relationship controls the relationship. Hand, I believe we call it, right? Upper hand or hand. The person has hand in the relationship.
Yeah. By the way, Andy, while you're getting into this, we're getting a fair amount of new emails here.
Should I be reading those?
No, but I'm just saying.
I'll try to catch up. I'll bounce back and forth.
It's encouraging that people are actually listening to
people
us.
People love us. Or me, anyway. They're just getting
they're just here
to know you. It's about me.
You're right.
I'm the Brett Favre of Patriots.com radio. It's all about me.
I'm just a mere...
I may stub my toe later and ask you to call 911 and call an ambulance to cart me out of here.
I'm just a mere letter in the title of this show.
That's right. The second letter.
Yes.
Don't you ever forget.
The second letter. You're right.
I can be the A47 show just as easily. we could keep threatening to release him if we take him on. Then screw him when it comes to the end of his tenure. Crappy, I know, but I know plenty of hot girls/guys that do that routinely. And, as Randy says, he understands it's a business. So, Andy, yes, I would use him. I would, too. That's the mentality I'd take. He's crawling back to you. He's been broken. Except, you know what? He can still play. This is Gordon in Des Moines. Dear guys at PFW, and you, Kevin, I'll include you in this. And not in an Eric-type way where I say, dear guys and Kevin. That wasn't the tone.
Thank you, Gordon. I appreciate it.
No, I don't want Moss back. I'm disappointed the saga surrounding Moss is taking away from the progress of the defense. I remember all the concerns. I believe Fred already read that, right? After the fourth and one stop at the end of the half, I was so stoked I wanted to see. Yep, Fred already said, does he not delete him when he's done with him?
Not really.
Well, this is...
A good way to do it, Andy, is you look up to like 2 o'clock, and then ones that are sent post 2 o'clock are generally the ones we don't get.
Yeah, but I got a bunch that... Oh, here you go, Andy, from Bob Saget.
That could be dangerous. I don't know if we want to open that.
Oh, it's just Theo in New Jersey.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, guys, and Eric. Eric's not here, but Kevin Collins is sitting in for Eric. Take that as you may, Kevin. I'm writing in with 2 points. First, how long do you guys think it will take Mankins to get back in the lineup? The second point is what Andy asked for. More an idiot. Did he already read this? I'm going to the bottom. Forget it. I'm going to the bottom of the list here.
Just go all the way to the 2 o'clock ones.
Okay, I'm doing
it. I have plenty of them in here.
Okay. I don't have any 2 o'clock ones. Where are they?
I got plenty.
I have all these this is a terrible radio show I'm taking part in right now. Oh, okay. They're at the top now.
Yeah, they're at the top.
Andy is right. That's a good one to start with.
No, you will start with.
Oh, Christ.
Go down to, what about Christopher Jones there at 217? It's a good place to start.
It's good radio here. We're talking about the time that emails came in.
I'm just trying to alert you to the spot where we kind of took over and the new emails started pouring in. That's all.
I don't have a Christopher Jones. Oh, I do. The greatest heist in NFL history. 216, it says. To Andy and Kevin. Try to get the time right if you're telling me what time to look for.
And then just work from there up.
Oh, boy, would we fight if this was a regular show. To Andy and Kevin. I live in Hamilton and write in on a weekly basis. I'm sure you'll love this. Here's a scenario. Moss gets traded to the Vikings after chirping about his contract. Vikings pay a third rounder and get him in a trade. Patriots then trade a fourth they got for Maroney for Branch. Moss plays for 3 to 4 weeks, grumbling while he's there each week about the choices Childress makes. Comes to a head in a love fest in the postgame loss to his former team and criticizes his new team, the Vikings. Gets waived, clears waivers, gets paid $6 million, and gets signed to New England for pennies.
I don't know about the pennies part, Andy.
Oh, I think it'll be pennies. Or I won't sign him.
What I'm saying is, do you think he would accept pennies here? Would he play for less money here? You think he really would?
As
compared to a team that's
The love thing.
I don't know if I do. As compared to a team that's in
Then I don't want him.
No, I don't want him either.
No, because I am taking him at the, not even the word, but the visual and the audible way in which he delivered his comments Sunday night.
So basically he could go be an actor If that was fake,
if he doesn't really...
Put him on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think he is a broken man and wants to play here above all else at all costs.
I'm not sold that if he clears waivers, which I don't think is going to happen.
Why?
I think somebody's going to put a claim in on him.
Well, but that could be true. I don't know if you saw the comments from Jeff Fisher in Tennessee. He said all 30 other teams other than the Patriots and Vikings will consider claiming Randy Moss. And he also said he'd already had a significant number of players stop by his office and say, let's get Moss.
And I think if you have a team like the Titans or any team that's like, you know, 4-4 to, you know, anything in that general kind of mediocre range, like we're still not out of it. If they come to him and offer him a significant amount of money as compared to what the Patriots would offer him, I don't think he's turning.
I don't think anyone's going to offer significant. Maybe a little more than minimum. I think those people are nuts, personally.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone should just flat out either claim him or sign him without some prior experience or knowledge. As I said earlier, if Scott Pioli wants to claim him, if Josh McDaniels wants to claim him, if you know, some other coaches he's worked with over the years at various places want to claim him, I think that's one thing. But to blindly take him on at this point, I'd be scared poopless if I were that
team. And let's clear it up, too. You know, if he does clear waivers, Andy, most likely the contract that's going to be offered to him is going to have to be some sort of an extension, wouldn't you think?
No.
No?
No, no. I think he will get just
the year?
Play out the year, and we'll go from there.
Interesting. Because that was what this whole thing was about.
But it
was about him wanting security for 3 years.
It's not anymore. He knows that he's a broken man. The contract extension is no longer the priority. The priority is this season, the here, the now, the happiness.
Because there were a lot of people writing and calling in the PFW. I think Fred was definitely on board with this, that wanted to give him the same deal over again.
Yes.
For 3
years.
Oh, yeah.
We had a lot of those.
I think a lot of people would have been completely happy with that type of extension.
Yep.
But he wasn't.
No.
You think he'd be happy with that now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to get anything
Patriots
close
will take
to that
it.
Now.
No. I think the only thing you're talking about right now is signing him to play for this year and see how it goes. Moss, in the scenario that I just finished reading, Moss and Belichick just pulled off the biggest heist in NFL history and didn't steal any signals to do it. Oh, that's a little bit of a low. Profits are a third-rounder, Deion Branch, Randy Moss, and Vikings have to pay Moss $6 million. Well, not exactly.
No.
The $6 million, the Patriots paid a portion of it early to start the
year.
Yeah,
I think what's left was like $3.88 or something.
Yeah, that's left now. The Patriots probably paid $1 million or whatever it was, and the Vikings paid a couple million.
So if he's not claimed, the Vikings are on the hook for that $3.88. If he is claimed, it's the team that claims him is on the hook for that. So that's
exactly
how it works.
Also,
I know what I'm talking about.
Sometimes.
Okay.
And you were saying that with kind of like a question at the end of it for Andy to validate it.
Okay, Andy, you win.
Well, how would you have said it had you been here by yourself?
I don't know. I just would have proclaimed it. I would have, that's what I would have done the whole
show.
You
would have pulled an Eric.
I would have made outrageous claims like I invented the question mark, you know, things like that.
So you really would have been Eric?
Yes.
Because he doesn't know anything either.
But
he
I wouldn't.
Fakes it.
I don't know if I would have been so.
Pompous?
Up on my pedestal.
Yeah. Please don't. No one likes it. Just like no one likes Eric. Also, there's a fifth round compensatory pick. Should come to us should Moss get picked up as a free agent down the road after this season. Now, this is all assuming we get him back. You know, he clears waivers, we sign him. Losses.
You know what happens when you assume, Andy.
Make an ass out of you.
Thank you.
Brilliant! Do you see a new CBA rule being made that you can't go back to the original team the same year? No, I don't.
Brilliant!
This
Brilliant!
Is a specific situation. I don't know why, but the Vikings got what they should have known they were getting in Randy Moss, and then decided a month later they didn't want what they should have known they were getting and cut him.
When you saw the transcript, were you actually in the press conference?
No.
Okay.
I listened to it, though.
Yeah, so when you were listening slash, you know, I wasn't there. I was at the dinner, but then I get the transcript in my email. When I read it, I almost had this inkling feeling that, like, something has to happen. Like, they can't just go – the Vikings can't go on after this. It was like what happened in New England after the Cincinnati game. You kind of had a feeling like, oh, boy, what's going to happen with this?
Yeah, I guess. I just thought because – first of all, I didn't think anything was overly egregious. I thought it was inappropriate. But
especially after you lose a game.
Even they were all like throwaway lines, almost like trailing off when he said, you know, all I tried to do was spread what the greatest coach in football history gave me to the guys.
Sprinkle it.
And they didn't realize it until the game. And then they're like, dang, Moss, you were right. They were almost. And then he said, I didn't expect to lose this game. And maybe we get those 3 points at the end of the first half.
That,
maybe it plays out different.
If that actually is true, though, Andy, and he went to the – not only the Vikings offense, but the Vikings defense, and tried to school them up on what was going on here to prepare them. and they didn't, you know, they listened, they took it into consideration, but they didn't really.
I find it hard to believe.
I'm just telling you, if this is actually true, and they didn't take it to heart, and they didn't listen to him and prepare the way that he was suggesting they prepare, then I think it just further kind of reiterates that Childress is a turd.
Well, I think Childress is done.
I think he's an idiot.
I think he's a laughable coach who, for some reason, has never been as much included as Wade Phillips and Norv Turner.
He thinks he's a good coach.
He's got an ego above all.
He's got the whole my philosophy. Well, it's not my fault.
Yeah. He definitely does. You're right. Well done. You and Brad Childress have a lot in common.
I got more hair, though.
Yeah.
And he's got a better mustache.
You don't want to have a mustache
him. Did you see the lookalike in the stands?
I missed it. Somebody said it was really funny, really good. I heard you guys had a good day on the big board, putting some funny stuff on the screen and fans and various things.
Well, I mean, on Halloween, it's, you know.
A little easier when you have seven guys dressed as Robert Kraft.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And the fact that Mr. Kraft actually took the time to go over and shake their hands and meet them was very cool. That was a cool moment.
Mr. Kraft, very cool like that.
He is.
Very, very cool like
good
that.
Good man.
He's also very good in his new Thursday Night Football TV commercial.
Yeah.
Does a tremendous job.
And you know what? I actually cracked up walking down the hallway to come do the show today. I'm walking down, and I see a golf cart plugged into this, you know, right by the media workroom postgame with the little stairs.
Yeah.
And right on the front says, like, the Patriots logo, cart reserved for owner. And I just remember that commercial.
And he would take the elevator down and get over to CBS Scene for his dinner for Thursday Night Football.
Man, I would have liked to have been eating pizza with him, though. I wonder why we weren't invited.
I don't think you'll ever get invited.
Should have invited the PFW game.
Okay, Lyndon in Colton, California, PFW in progress favorite, joining the AK-47 show. If you'd like to join, it's webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 for the ACE ticket hotline to join us on the phone. Although, make sure you have something to say, because it actually takes a lot of legwork for Kevin to be part of the show and answer the phone. So
once I get him on the air,
we don't want any of those calls just calling in for the hell of it. If you have something to say, join the show. Otherwise, shoot us an email. And as I said, Lyndon in California, do you know how much Hernandez was on the field Sunday? He was targeted once in the first quarter and didn't have the ball thrown to him again until the fourth. Did the Vikings focus on shutting him down, or was he not on the field as much as he usually is? I believe he was on the field plenty.
Yeah, he was on the field plenty.
I would send you to Mike Reese on ESPNBoston.com.
He has the snap
breakdown.
Yep.
But I saw him out there, you know, the unofficial eyeball test plenty. I think he is a guy that is being hurt a little bit by the lack of Randy Moss. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's still making some plays, but maybe not finding the going quite as easy.
He had the one big play down the sideline.
The little wheel route.
Yep. That was a great throw, by the way.
I'm not sure he should have cut back that time. I think he continues down the sideline. He might get another.
He's Captain Cutback, though. That's his
no question.
But
since day one in camp.
That was a great ball by Brady, though. It was almost, when you looked at it from the angle behind Brady from the end zone, it was almost kind of like it had to be a little bit on his back shoulder.
Brady's pretty good now. Despite what Eric might want to tell you sometimes, Brady's pretty good. Pretty good player now. Every week I'm impressed at the plays Woodhead makes. That run and catch in third and 12 was amazing. Rex Ryan must be kicking himself for letting him go. I don't know if Rex Ryan's kicking himself or praising himself for taking LaDainian Tomlinson when no one else wanted him and saying, love it when I'm right. But Woodhead has been impressive, has evolved quite, what the hell is this? Dear soccer enthusiast? Why are we getting emails for dear soccer enthusiast?
I don't know. They might have the wrong address. That should go to Brad Feldman.
Got a video. It might be spam. Is Brad Feldman getting a soccer spam?
I don't know.
You know what's the worst? Soccer spam. I mean, at least if it were porn or something, it'd be one thing. But this, no one wants soccer spam. Sean from Atlanta checking in. This question is for Andy. Well, as luck would have it, Andy Hart is the one reading this email, so I will answer it. I was wondering how you feel about the Devin McCourty pick instead of getting Sergio Kindle. I know I was pissed when we drafted him, probably because Andy hyped the guy up. I guess this shows why all the Pats fans say, in Bill we thrust. that's actually only Fred Kirsch that says, in Bill we thrust. The rest of Patriots Nation says, in Bill we trust. I liked McCourty. I didn't see cornerback as the biggest need at the time. I was looking at a depth chart that included, obviously, Lee Bodden, who they re-signed. That included Darius Butler, who I think was on the upswing at that point, not the low point that he's at now. I still had hopes for Jonathan Wilhite and Terrence Wheatley, especially Wheatley, off injured but relatively high pick, second round pick. And so I didn't see cornerback as the biggest need. I looked at pass rusher as the biggest need. But if you check back to Andy Hart's big board on the day before the draft on the PFW blog, I went my top 20 Devin McCourty was best of the rest. I included, wow. I believe I had 23 names on
That's
it.
That's impressive.
He was in my big board. So all those people that say he was a second, third round pick, should
Not
have been
you.
In the first round. He was a top 20 type talent. He was a very good player. He
coming
was,
out of a suspect school of a suspect conference.
He was not overdrafted, and I think you're seeing that now. He's a guy that has natural ability, good fundamentals.
Good ball skills.
Good ball skills. According to Belichick, some of the best film study and awareness he's ever seen.
He actually got a chance, Andy, when he did come away with that ball to show off a little of his agility and speed.
Oh, he's an athlete.
He burned it.
Oh, yeah, he's an athlete. You're right, though. That's the biggest burst I've seen from him. Yeah, he got the ball, and it was like, boom,
and
turn
that was
on the
one
Rockets.
Of those, like, game-changing plays because the Vikings are going down a score there, at least three.
And it gives the Patriots, I believe it went to the 37, gave you a short field. People say, you know, all 28 points were offense this week.
Yeah,
they were. The offense scored, but you were put on a very short field by your defense.
That's with the offense, the way it's currently constructed, I think it takes a special teams play, you know, a big return, a pick six, or a big return like McCourty had to kind of win games every week the way this team's been winning. And they've gotten them. And I don't think they're going to get them every week.
They may not.
That's my concern.
That's the concern.
And just to kind of go back to the question the emailer had, the previous one, Hernandez, in terms of snap counts, he was on the field for 40 of the 54 offensive snaps.
So that's 80%.
That was the second highest, obviously, behind, you know, Brady. And Wes Welker was 44 of 54.
And I wonder if he came off the field late as they're running the ball out.
Yeah, so he was definitely on the field a lot. It just kind of is, you know, you and I passed, it didn't pass the sniff test. We can see him out there.
The guy who's not on the field often enough is Rob Gronkowski.
But when he's not, when Hernandez isn't catching footballs, the camera doesn't really go his way when you're on the field. Well, Gronkowski, to be fair, he did have that pretty bad drop early in the game.
It happens.
And he didn't get a whole lot thrown to him after that.
He never gets a whole lot thrown to him.
No, I know.
How come when he makes great catches, like the touchdown in San Diego, he doesn't earn 10 more balls?
I'm behind you.
But when he drops one, he gets 10 taken away from him?
The guy deserves balls. He loves balls. Needs him thrown his way. Gronk.
Oh,
needs him thrown
his way.
We're
talking about Eric. I don't know what's going on here. I can't say what Sean from Atlanta ends his email is with, but it's a comment about Eric. I'll just say that. Ooh, James, AK-47.
By the way, Andy, when we were talking about power rankings and Fred doesn't think they should be number one and all that, they are number one in the ESPN power rankings.
My guess is they're going to be number one literally everywhere except Fred Kirsch's unofficial, unprinted power rankings.
2:25 p.m., Patriots grab top spot in power rankings.
And are the Steelers too?
Let me take a look, but it's kind of funny.
Oh, boy, phone call, web story, talking, so much to do.
It's funny because Danny Woodhead's right on the front of this article.
Nice. I'll read this because it's a good email from James Pettigrew, our favorite James in the whole world, and our favorite everything. Love the new show. Screw PFW. AK-47 gets lunch every time they're on the air. Stevie H would even make a comeback. Oh, and we might even allow Stevie H on the air for that on this show. Uh-oh. Next email up from John Howard, subject heading, Nitwit Tuesday. Hey guys, and Eric, still staying with the classic.
Yeah.
The lack of a number one receiver is my biggest nitpick. I think Belichick is brilliant, and the brilliance of his draft picks are shining bright in our recent wins. That being said, the inability to draft a great receiver is killing our offense. However, here is the real nitpick. The Oakland Raiders won again. They're screwing up our draft pick for next year.
They're 4-4 now.
4-4.
They're right in the hunt for that.
So you could be looking at, you know, everybody was talking, oh, you're going to have a top 10 pick and then the Patriots pick. If they have a down year, you could be picking 5 and 15. Well, you could be looking at picking 15 and 28 or 30 or whatever. You know, the Patriots are the best team in football right now. Their pick could be pretty low in the draft. So could be a problem for those of us who were holding out hope that this was the year you get that elite outside linebacker.
The Ravens are number 2, Steelers number 3, Jets 4, Colts 5.
Falcons, first NFC team, huh?
Yeah, first NFC team, Falcons, and then the Giants at number 7.
Wow. Yes, the Raiders are indeed screwing things up, as they always do. That's what the Raiders do. Even when they win, they screw things up for somebody, and the somebody this year is the New England Patriots.
Yep.
Just a quick one. I wanted to get back the Sergio Kindle question.
Okay.
I wanted a pass rusher. That's what I was targeting. I liked his athletic style of play. Obviously, in hindsight now, knowing that he was going to fall down the stairs and not be able to play this year.
That's tough break.
I'm glad that. Oh, I see what you did there. You're taking a make it a fun.
I'm trying. No,
tough break, talking about a skull. I see what you did there.
No, I said it was.
Skull jokes, are those really appropriate?
No,
skull jokes from
the guy who's still
in rehab?
And John Rook's a Texas man, so I wouldn't make fun of one of his own.
Yeah, I mean.
It's disrespectful.
Named his son Austin.
It's true.
Met his son Austin.
That's diehard.
That is diehard.
He actually had on his Facebook.
Psycho.
He had a picture of wow, what is it over there in the ruins over in like in you're in Scotland? You're gonna laugh at me because I can't think of the name.
In Scotland?
No, it's like over in
Stonehenge.
Yes, yeah, Stonehenge.
Not in Scotland.
Where is it?
Just outside of London, I believe, because other people were making the trip last year when we were down there.
Close enough. He had a picture of Stonehenge, and he had a sign in front of it, and it was like, it's like 1200 BC, and Oklahoma still sucks, or something like that.
He really is out of his mind.
It's pretty funny.
I don't know how he and strippers coexist.
He's hardcore, though. I've actually had the privilege of watching like half a Texas game with him when they lost to Oklahoma, and he was nuts, like up screaming at the television. I was like, geez, man.
I admire that.
I like it. No, the fan in him is not dead.
I don't think I have that much passion about anything.
No. No. We've all had it sucked out of us.
That's true.
More than me because you have, you know, the family and all that stuff.
That's true. I have the passion about the
family. We have our first phone call here, though, on the AKA 47 program.
We do.
We have Brad from the Eastern Shore.
Brad from the Eastern Shore. First time caller here to the AKA 47 show because he's indeed the first caller for our show.
Don't I win some kind of prize for hanging in there with you guys?
We're proud to have Brad as our first caller.
Welcome aboard, Brad. Good to have you. We're not familiar with you on this program. Tell us a little bit about yourself. No, just kidding. What do you got this week?
Hey, man, a lot of good things, you know? It's a...
Which is why it shouldn't be Nitpick Tuesday between 2 and 4 here on normally the playbook.
It's true. You know, I am a little confused as to my G-Force disappearance.
Me too.
I just don't understand several of those plays. You know, looked like, man, that would have been a perfect time for a down the seam to a 6'7" guy.
Yes.
My only thing is, do you guys think, in Belichick's mind, as he sets up these game plans, that he's adding a little different wrinkle each week? And one of these weeks, it's going to be the 6-catch, 3-touchdown game for G-Force. In other words, this week, what did we see new? The direct snap to Kevin Falk. Oh, I mean to Woodhead.
To Woodhead, and it worked.
And it worked. Both times.
And one was negated.
Well, one was an illegal
early on.
Shift.
Yeah.
I think, was it because he didn't come to a complete
stop? The first
one's
negated due to an illegal shift. And then they had
the
touchdown. And was there one other?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one
other. The
one
he ran to the right. He ran outside.
Yes. So, yeah, that was a wrinkle. The one hesitation I would have, and I don't know if you read this story, Brad, but I thought it was a very good story about the Gronkowski brothers this weekend in the Boston Globe.
Nope, I saw it but didn't read it.
There was a quote in there from Algie Crumpler talking about Gronkowski.
And you can't stump the Crump.
You can't stump Captain Crump. And what it said was, I'm paraphrasing, but basically it said, when Gronkowski knows who to block, he kills him. When he knows what route to run, he makes a play. And I'm thinking to myself, the implication there is he doesn't always know who to block and he doesn't always know what route to run.
Yeah.
And that may be why his snaps have been a little bit limited and his role has kind of maybe regressed a little bit. Maybe as the offense has progressed, he hasn't picked up quite as quickly on some of the stuff as they got into mid-season game.
Yeah, planning. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons he was so effective in the preseason is because everything was so vanilla.
Right.
And he's just getting into the swing of things. But now that we're in more advanced schemes against more advanced defenses in games that actually count, maybe he's not picking up.
And let's not forget, he's a guy that only played 2 years of college football, was out of football for a year, relatively young. Might take a little while.
You know, as your first caller, I would like to say a few things.
Okay, agreed.
Keep it short. We have a quick trigger finger here on the AK-47 show.
I'm shocked you actually had the courage to call in, Brad, after Andy was like, if you don't have something good to say it, then don't say it at all.
Wow, are you implying that Brad doesn't usually have something good
to
say?
No, I'm just saying you threatened the callers.
My answer to that would be very simple. It doesn't take a lot of brains to run 20 yards down the seam from a set three-point stance after the ball is snapped.
Yeah,
and we've seen that he is really, really good at that. So isn't Bill Belichick's famous mantra, we have them do what they do best?
Right, but they cannot.
And if Gronkowski can run a 5-yard out and a 25-yard seam route, we can't find those two plays somewhere in that game Sunday. I sure could.
But the problem is you can't put a guy on the field and be locked into, oh, I can't change the protection here. Oh, I can't change the play here. I can't audible. You know, he can't be a detriment to the other 10 players on the field. If the other 10 players are versatile enough to change the play at the line of scrimmage, blah, 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 he needs to fall in line with that. I don't think he's good enough to have things kind of fed to him or tailored to him.
But as much as I like Copen, I haven't seen him whiff on any more than Copen or Light have whiffed in the last couple weeks.
But those are physical mistakes. There's a difference between physical and mental.
Well,
I think Gronkowski can whiff.
A physical mistake can get Tom Brady killed just as much as a mental one can.
That is true. But if you can guard against Dan Copen's your center. It's very difficult to guard against him making a physical mistake because he has to be on the field every play.
Right.
Whereas Gronkowski, you have other receivers, other tight ends, other formations, and if you can put it off a little bit and try to get him more acclimated to the offense. And again, I'm just reading into one quote from one guy here.
Yeah.
But if you can give him a few more weeks to try to get up to speed, I think that's the safer course there, and kind of keep his snaps at a relative number, relatively low. Maximize his strengths, try not to put him in too many positions to make mistakes, and allow the role to grow as he goes along.
Well, I haven't had a shirt named since Ted Johnson on my back. And, you know, I was really hoping that would be somebody that, you know, I'm from the Russ Francis era, and, man, I'd love to see another all-world guy come out that's big, tall,
there.
Lanky,
yeah.
And can run.
Don't give up on it. Don't give up on it.
No, okay. No, I'm not. I just would like to see them. It's the same thing we argued about a few weeks ago with Tate. I throw the ball to him twice a game.
Yeah.
You know, if he catches one of them, great. And last week, guess what? He caught them both.
Well, they were both kind of broken plays. He had one catch for 4 yards
but you
on
know
traditional
what?
Plays.
How many NFL-quality receivers would have dropped the pass, the first one, the deep pass down the middle,
that was
the guy
a
almost
lot.
Picked off?
A yeah, lot.
That was a tough
one. That was a freak play.
And,
yeah.
But he hung in there.
Good concentration.
Oh, yeah?
He hung in there, and he caught it. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, famous Bill, it is what it is.
It is
the
what it is.
The guy ended up with 3 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown.
It is what it is. Brad, you were the first, and now you're gone as the first caller. See you, Brad, on the AK-47 show. The one thing I will say dating back to training camp is actually Tate showed a knack for making the difficult catch on the practice field.
He definitely did. And in some of those preseason games, he made catches that didn't count because he was out of bounds.
Yes,
but they were
that's what he did
catches.
All summer, starting July 29th on. Sometimes he wouldn't make the easy one, but the difficult one he makes. I hope that's not his M.O. down the road.
He made one catch in, I think, the Rams game, headed toward your end of the end zone, Andy, in the press box, right in that corner out of bounds.
Yeah,
that
was
just obscene.
That's what he does. Hopefully he'll continue to do that and make some traditional catches.
A quick little aside here.
Are you the co-host? Why are you interjecting? You are the co-host.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about Gerard Mayo and about how maybe he's not viewed as a lot of, you know, as a playmaker.
He's a tackle machine.
Yeah. Well, here's just
doesn't
an idea.
Doesn't play well with others.
Here's an idea of how big of a tackle machine he is. When you look at the Patriots, statistically, on the defensive side of the ball, tackles. Gerard Mayo, 94 tackles, 58 solo, 36 assisted. Second place, how many tackles do you think the second place guy has?
52.
46. He has more solo tackles than Brandon Spikes, the number 2 tackle guy on the Patriots, has combined.
My little counter argument would be he doesn't leave the field.
Okay.
Spikes leaves the field. A lot of the guys that he plays with are rotational.
But isn't that kind of a feather in his cap, though, that he doesn't leave the field?
Oh, sure. But I think we know he's a smart football player.
He's the Mike.
We know he's the Mike, the captain, the everything. And
the
he's
everything.
Athletically capable enough to be on the field all 3 downs. I don't think there's a lot of guys that are, necessarily.
That just impresses me, though. 94
Very
to
impressive.
46. That's a
he's
big,
having a great year in terms of tackles.
That's a big drop.
I don't poo-poo 200
and
tackles.
I'm kind of encouraged by the fact that Brandon Spikes has now leapt up the chart to second.
Sure.
He's improving.
I like Brandon Spikes. I think that's a nice tandem.
And I think...
But one of them needs to show a knack for making a few more plays.
I don't know if we'll agree on Cunningham, but I've been kind of a little bit... I don't know. I'm seeing things that I haven't seen before.
Were you not listening earlier? I praised Cunningham.
I don't pay attention to you.
Aren't you supposed to pay attention to the show you can have nice drop-ins and be ready?
I'm too busy getting Mr. Hart lunch.
No, you don't get me lunch. I almost called him Brandon Pettigrew. James
Brandon
Pettigrew gets
me
lunch.
Who had a touchdown catch for the Lions last weekend.
The Pettigrews are the ones that get me lunch.
I think he wrote us an email, too, that
I
we
just
might
read
get
it.
To eventually. I don't know.
I already read it. Did you not listen now? You're a co-host today. You have to listen.
We had Brad on the phone for a while.
You really can't do this whole thing, can you? Produce and contribute.
No, absolutely.
You're overwhelmed right now?
No, I'm not.
Overwhelmed.
We're fine.
Okay. I'll read an email while you bring it back. Relax for a minute.
We're getting plenty of feedback.
I am.
See, it's all about you. It's always all about you. Even with 3 other guys on the other side of the glass, it's always about you.
This is from John in St. Paul, Minnesota. I emailed PFW in Progress the previous hour with a scoop regarding the Moss catering fiasco and now have updated information. I have a friend who has inside info about the infamous Friday night catering involving Moss. He just posted this scoop on a local Twin City sports blog. The specific restaurant involved was Tinucci's, T-I-N-U-C-C-I, apostrophe S, located outside St. Paul in Newport, Minnesota. My buddy's theory goes like this. Randy has always hated Matt Burke, the Ravens offensive lineman and native St. Paulite. Is that how you say that? St. Paulite?
Usaka Paulite?
Yeah, I guess. Due to the connection that Tinucci's has with Burke, Burke is apparently friends with the owners, Moss decided to be a jerk about the food on Friday. Anyway, here's the link to the story. So apparently there's a story out there about the Moss incident with, and reportedly the restaurant's name was Tinucci's, a mom-pop shop in just outside of St. Paul, Newport, Minnesota. And continue this whole soap opera with Randy Moss, and could he have been waived by the Vikings for simply criticizing some food in a buffet line Friday at the Vikings facility, or is it a combination of things? Was it his post-game press conference? But the bigger question is, would you take him back? The AK-47 show here with Kevin Collins, me, Andy Hart. A lot of firsts in this program. And today, those gunshots mean one thing and one thing only. The first break in the history of the AK-47 show.
Let's do it.
When we're back, we'll have more emails at webradio@patriots.com, or you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Back in a few.
Hey! Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America, N.A. member PIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
No, listen.
Grand Hustle, homie.
Everybody report to the club. Dance floor. That
automatic weapon noise you hear means only one thing. The AK-47 show here on Patriots.com radio. Andy Hart, formerly of PFW in Progress.
That was a pretty gangsta open right there.
Because we're pretty cool. We're pretty hardcore.
Is what it is.
It's how we roll. Maybe Randy Moss will call in. He's pretty hardcore.
That'd be pretty sweet, huh? How about that for our first guest?
And SportsCenter has to use the audio courtesy of the AK-47 show, Patriots.com.
Fred would have a cow.
He really would. Not just him.
Fred would be dead
a lot of other
in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be alone. I think we would have members of ownership, scouting, coaching staff, sprinting in this doorways, and we would be out on our ear.
But he did refer to me as boss man a bunch of times, so, you know, there's a relationship.
As I said, I was homie. He called me homie.
Dion Branch used to call me that back in the day.
Boss
homie.
Man?
No, homie.
When, back in the day, when?
Back when he was first here.
You were here then?
Yeah, I was around. Internship, then I actually had a chance.
How is it that you've been around for like 5 years and no one remembers you?
Well, no, like I was an intern for a lot of years, so I didn't.
So? I remember interns. I try to look fondly upon the little man because I used to be the little man. I was once that intern.
But I was also more in the television market. And I recognize.
Are you like Eric?
No, I was in TV back then.
No, absolutely not.
I was a stand-up comedian as well.
I was literally the guy who would carry the sticks. That's all I was. I would go.
You mean the tripod?
Yeah, and I would actually.
Because when you're in a football program, the sticks are the yard markers, the chains.
Not the chains.
Okay. But this is in your TV career, your pre-football
in
career.
In the TV career.
What station was this
for? Torrey Champagne. Fox 25.
Fox 25. News
Butchie Stearns.
My favorite 10 o'clock news, by the way.
With Butchie, and then the cameraman that I used to kind of follow around and shadow is still here, Walt McGraw, who you
I think, tremendous.
He's hilarious.
As entertaining as they come.
His nickname for me was Rusty, and that caught on with all the other TV stations.
Why?
And now I don't know why. Well, I can't. Well, I do know, but I don't think it's appropriate that I say it.
Probably not. We're trying to establish a little bit of a different style here in the AK-47 show. Not quite the lowbrow humor that those clowns over on PFW and Progress promote.
You know, I'm down on the field on Sundays, and I see the cameramen from Channel 7 or from Comcast, and they're all just like, "Hey, Rusty!" And I'm like, "How does that stick with you?" For like the last like 4 years.
Oh boy. Let's get back to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482. If you want to join us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And actually joining us now, we have
Eldridge.
Eldridge, my man.
North Carolina.
What is happening down in the Carolinas today?
Eldridge.
Okay, Eldridge.
There he is. Celebrating
yet again.
6-1. Yeah,
five in a row. Round of applause for your New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm talking Noah's at home.
Yeah.
Eldridge was just on a little bit of a delay there.
No problem. So
just a little bit.
I've been told that between the hours of 2 and 4 on this radio station, well, first of all, I got to ask you one question. Would you or wouldn't you? Randy Moss, would you take him back?
In a heartbeat.
Me too.
If you take back Locus Mangan, I'll take back Moss because it will help our offense a whole lot more. Because when we play San Diego, they normally shut down the short passing game.
Yep.
And Brady did try to go deep a couple times with Branch, but that ain't happening.
Yep.
Now, Tate, after that route, you know, he broke it off when Brady scrambled. That's the longest threat deal we done had. But you don't see him going streaking and Brady throwing them that way. So we need that deep threat.
I hear you. And I like the spin you put on it. It's interesting. At 6-1, best team in football, only team with a single loss. Patriots, you know, in our little dream scenario here, could add two all pros, Logan Mankins and Randy Moss, in the course of the next 2 weeks. Imagine that.
Yeah. How would you like it if we got Sean Merriam too for that outside linebacker?
Merriman.
I have I've wavered a little bit on Merriman. I was of the belief that you should at least kick the tires, bring him in for a workout, see what he's got left.
So you're going to give him the Aaron Schobel treatment?
Yeah, a little bit. But now I'm saying the group has worked well together. Bantakane, Cunningham, Ninkovich rotating through. Even Crable gets some reps.
They're growing. There's no doubt about it.
I'm not sure I want to disrupt that, those young guys. And I also don't know what he is.
It's funny you bring up Crable, too, because who would have thought he'd be in this position?
Yeah, and he hasn't done much. Don't get me wrong, but he's been on the field. He's getting snaps.
The thing is, Andy, though, he hasn't done much, but he hasn't done a ton to kill us.
Right.
So.
Not that much. And Cunningham, I saw him a couple plays. Cunningham shows up, a couple plays he doesn't.
Right. He's a young player.
You know, I know he's young. You know, I understand that. You know, in the secondary, I'm still shaky, but so far, then I'm handling things a little bit better, you know. But I still wish we had a veteran presence back there.
I gotta tell you, it now seems like the tide has turned. Early in the PFW in Progress radio show, it seemed like most people did not want Moss back.
Yeah.
But of late, here on the AK-47 show, here on Patriots.com radio,
yeah,
Seems like everybody.
Are we talking them into it? Because we're definitely of the same opinion that he should be welcomed back.
Kevin Collins wants him. Andy Hart wants him. Eldridge wants him. The fans want him.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Okay. But I know it's a long shot because that waiver wire, I looked at that waiver wire of teams in progress. You know, Dallas ain't going to take him.
Nope. Jerry Jones is already on the record saying they will not claim him.
Yeah. See, there's Buffalo. Buffalo might, even though, you know, they always said, but he ain't want to go there.
The thing is, it doesn't make too much sense for a team with one or two wins.
I don't think the Bills will take him. I don't think any of those teams right at top. You know, I think interesting team.
What about the Rams and the Saints? Because they both look it, and so is Tennessee.
I don't think the Saints would take him. I do think the Rams will consider him because they are in the hunt. They're in a bad division. They have four wins. They may look at it as if I give Sam Bradford a weapon, and he has no weapons. They lost Clayton. He's got the little guy from Texas, Amendola. I think they'll consider him. But I don't think it's a good situation for them. He walks all over young quarterbacks.
My guess, Andy, my guess was Denver.
One more question we'll ask you, though.
Okay, go.
Do you think Bill and them would take him back?
I do.
For the minimum. Because he's going to get 3.8 from Minnesota.
Yeah. You know. If he's willing to crawl back, if he clears waivers, first of all.
And then it's $455,000.
Well, that's the minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, negotiate more, whatever.
They have to pay him at least that amount.
I would say that's the minimum. I think they would consider it. I take them at their word. Everybody said they loved Randy Moss. Tom Brady, Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick. Everybody said they loved him and respected him. It was a business decision. Well, maybe now the business decision is to bring him back. Isn't that a possibility?
Good possibility, but I bet you Tom is lobbying for him.
I bet you he is. All right, Eldridge, you have a good afternoon, man.
And I bet on the heels of that too. I can't imagine that Wes Welker would be opposed to having him back either.
I don't know about that one. Some of the tone in Wes Welker's comments in the post Randy Moss era have been interesting. I'm not saying he disliked Moss. I just think they're two very different individuals. The Wes Welker, the player on the field, I think would probably like to have Randy Moss back here to open some things up underneath, to make his job a little bit easier. Wes Welker, the teammate, I always got the vibe that maybe there wasn't exactly love there, that they were just so different. You know, Moss being the ultimately physically gifted, you know, size, speed, height, jumping ability, lived a certain lifestyle to get to the NFL. Welker took a very different road to the NFL, and I think that kind of sways the views there. But I think Wes Welker, the football player, would take him back because I think it would make the Patriots better on the field. I am not of the belief, as is the case with some strange radio hosts in this town, that if you take Moss back, you ruin the whole team. Everybody else starts playing worse just because Moss is back. I don't buy into that.
And I think you make Wes Welker a better football player by bringing Randy Moss back.
I agree.
I don't think there's any questioning that.
I think he'll have more than 8 yards a catch and have more than 3 catches. Was the case on Sunday when Moss was on the other side of the field. Look no further than Minnesota. Percy Harvin has benefited greatly from having Randy Moss on his team, even for a short time here. 104 yards, whatever it was on Sunday.
That's the easiest
wide open
parallel to draw here. And Brett Favre has openly come out and said, since Randy Moss has been here, it has made Percy Harvin a better football player.
I watched Brett Favre say that, you know, in his coherent press conference with barely blood on his chin after he had to get carted off the field with people holding
his
jaw together.
I'm surprised he didn't kind of like paint some blood on.
Should have done,
you know,
something.
It
was Halloween. I mean, that was an embarrassment.
I'm in your book. I'm down there on the field, and I'm watching his head be held in place, and I'm like, he better have some sort of broken
and
jaw
it was nothing.
Or broken skull or something like that.
There's a word that Fred Kirsch says on PFW in Progress. He whispers it. It's a bad word. I can't say it because we're a little bit more highbrow here on the AK-47 show. We raised the bar at 2 p.m. after those slouches from PFW
like
Progress.
Automatic weapons, but other than that, we're fine.
But that's more symbolic than it is anything else. We don't really get into violence because, you know what? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And that's the message I'm going to leave you with today on this election day here across the country. Did you vote?
Not yet.
You're not going to, are you? That smirk I can see. You're a
maybe
bad
not.
American. Bad
depends,
American.
Depends on how late I'm kept here.
I'm voting. In fact, after this radio show, I'm going to try to get out of here early so I can make sure I hit the polls.
Whatever.
Do my duty as an American. Because I want to be able to. You know why? It's typical Andy. You know why Andy's going to vote? So he has the right to complain later. Because if you don't vote.
That's true. I totally agree with that. Because if you don't have your say in this whole mess that's going on.
If you give away your vote, don't complain later.
I'm exactly 100%.
I want to be able to complain next week, next month, next year about the crap that my politicians are putting me through.
Yeah.
So I will cast my vote.
And I think it's, you know, every true American enjoys being able to complain. We're a country.
That's what
of complainers.
We are, especially in New England.
We're squawkers.
I don't know about the whole country, but New England likes to complain.
You know, we go elsewhere, Andy, when we travel around. Maybe not me, because I don't go on the road with you. But I get arounds in my spare time.
Oh, you get around?
In my spare time. And it's funny, you know, you talk to people and they'll be like, you know, you're a lot nicer than I figured you'd be. And because the general consensus is we're these kind of like cold, you know, dark people from the north, Yankees, if you will.
Yeah. No one likes us. Chris in Seattle playing the would I or wouldn't I game. And this is about Moss. Again, not a hot chick. I definitely would after he comes off the waiver wire. I think he wants to win a championship with the best organization in the league. I do not think it was ever about the money alone for him. It was about respect. And now we get him back at a bargain. He wants to be here bad. And we keep the third rounder. Tee-hee-hee. From a football perspective, there is no question that our offense would improve. It would be silly to say otherwise. Chris in Seattle jumping on the bandwagon of bring back Randy Moss after he clears waivers. That's key. I think most people do not want to claim the contract. Yeah. They want him crawling back at the minimum off the waiver wire.
And I think they want some sort of apology / I'm going to do the best I can and keep my mouth shut speech or statement from him before he would sign on the dotted line.
We have ex-interns listening.
Wow.
Captain Morgan. Hello from Captain Morgan. Andy will know what I'm talking about. Yes, indeed.
Ahoy.
Former PFW intern. Did a fine job spotting for Fred in the press box one day. There was actually a Captain Morgan in the stands. I saw you guys put on the big board Sunday. Did you see that?
I did not. They actually have a...
You don't pay attention?
No, they have a billboard right on Route 1.
They do have a large billboard. Yes, they do.
Which I think is pretty cool.
This nitpick from Captain Morgan is Jonathan Wilhite. He is completely lost and does not wrap up on his tackles and is a JAG. Capital letters, JAG.
JAG it.
And that's not one of those lawyers that does the Air Force.
It's something general.
Jurisprudence Assistant General or something?
I don't know what it is.
He's a JAG. That's not a good thing if you're a football player. He seems to be in place only because Butler is struggling and has made no impressions since being drafted. Well, I beg to disagree, and that's not exactly the phrase, but I'm going
to
use it.
Disagree.
Beg to differ is also something I could say here. Jonathan Wilhite had ascended to a starting role last year, and then went into Indianapolis and really struggled and was kind of an in and out of the lineup late last year and in the offseason clearly lost his job and is now clearly in more of a rotational nickelback type role in the slot. A lot of people coming out of Auburn thought that was his NFL role as a fourth round pick, that he would be a slot player. I haven't seen him be as bad as Captain Morgan here says he's been.
I don't think he's got enough burn to make him be
he hasn't dead. Played a ton because, as we've talked about in the past, this team has two separate nickel packages. Sometimes it's three corners, two safeties. Sometimes it's three safeties, two corners. We've seen that a little bit over the first seven games of the season. But I do think Jonathan Wilhite has regressed and taken a step back in the last year plus, kind of on the Darius Butler way, where you reach that starting lineup. Maybe it's the Peter principle. Maybe you're a little bit above your head too much too soon. Now you're pulled back a little bit.
As with Darius Butler, freak of an athlete, great athlete, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. And once you kind of, you know, get out of the good graces of the coaching staff, you're seeing how hard it is. Even though you're a great player with great potential, you're seeing how hard it is to get back into that level.
Especially, you have Devin McCourty playing very well.
You have to jump over guys.
And Kyle Arrington has, I think, had his ups and downs, but has been competitive.
Yeah.
And I think they understand that competitive is good enough right now for these corners.
You want to say serviceable? Almost?
Serviceable, competitive.
Yeah.
Butler wasn't against the Jets.
Scary.
He was not competing for the football.
He was scary.
And that's a problem, and I think that's why you're seeing these guys stay in the lineup. It'll be interesting to see, but as I've said many times, Butler was the competitive guy last year. He was the new face, the rookie, the athletic, making plays on the ball. It'll be interesting to see if McCourty can keep the progression going and maintain that role throughout the entire season and continue to get better and make plays on the football and open eyes for the positive rather than giving up plays. Because I'm of the belief that cornerback is the most difficult position to play on the football field.
I think it is. I agree.
I think it's the hardest thing to do. Mentally, quarterback is more challenging, different. Athletically, I think dealing with guys like Randy Moss, Percy Harvin, Wes Welker on an every down basis, literally, you could be perfect for 25 snaps in a row And even at the beginning of the 25th snap, you give up one step,
yep,
and you're on SportsCenter looking like a tool.
You're done.
Yeah. I mean, it's really that's the fine line you walk in the National
Just
Football
so hard,
League.
You know, you don't know where you're going.
Right.
The
you don't know where
you're
and
you don't know where your help's going to be.
You're in zone one play. You're in man the next. You have safety help. You don't. The safety help
nowadays,
is a hair late.
Nowadays, Andy, there's so many breakdowns in coverage. It's, you just see them every week, guys just waltzing down the field wide open in the college and the professional level.
Tough going.
We actually, the phone lines are letting up here, Andy Hart. We have our third phone call.
S? Did you put an S on the end of that word?
No, I said Andy Hart.
No. Phone lines.
Phone lines. Yes, they're lighting up.
It is lighting
up. It is lighting up.
Pronouns are incorrect. The S is incorrect.
Whatever.
Okay, we'll go back to the phone lines here on the AK-47 show. We're on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Joining us now
is
our
Derek,
third ever caller.
Derek from the University of Arizona.
Oh, Derek, a
the
fan
G-Force
favorite.
Lover.
We love him. He's a fellow G-Force lover. What's up, Derek?
What up, Andy? How you doing?
Good. How are you? How are you enjoying the first ever debut show of the AK-47?
Well, I figured I'd call in because I heard you guys were shooting blanks.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's mean.
I do not shoot blanks, I'll tell you that
no,
much.
No, you have children.
I've tried twice and succeeded twice.
Andy Hart's a go-getter.
Which worries me for the rest of my life. I don't want anybody slipping past the goalie. I'm good with two and through here with kids. I don't want any mistakes on the horizon. I don't make enough.
Oh, God.
You know, there are procedures to fix that, Andy.
Bad joke aside, I have to go ahead and say, I have to kind of, I wasn't really agreeing with the whole negative show thing for PFW, but how can you not say it's negative when the homer, Fred Kirsch, is going ahead and not fully on board?
We're on board with you, Derek.
I agree. Fred is now dragging us down into a morass of negativity. It's
that was quite profound right there.
It's unbelievable.
We
I mean, we're trying to promote the best team in football here on Patriots.com, and he's saying, nah, I don't think they're the best team in football. I don't get it. It's a negative show, and it's all because of Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, well, I don't forget, little Eric over there. But
Yeah, but Eric's a clown. People take Fred seriously, and when he says the Patriots are not the best team in football, that worries some people.
Stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
I mean, do you really think they're the best team in football?
Yes, right now, I think they are the best team in football. They're playing the best. There is a difference. Yeah, are they the most talented?
I think,
no.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, I think going along that line, we've played a lot of talented teams this year, but we haven't played, I don't know how to word this exactly, but the teams we ended up playing have not exactly been the best teams, compared to how we thought they would be.
I agree. Yes, the teams have not played up to their talent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because before the season, we were all, I called them before the season started, and we were going over it, and as long as, a lot of your callers and emails go into, and we weren't really sure how these teams were going to pan out, and we've done pretty good.
Well, Derek, would you agree that Pittsburgh-Indy stretch where they play Pittsburgh and Indy back-to-back, one home, one away, that's going to be pretty much the measuring stick for how far this team might go in the playoffs?
Well,
those two teams are for real.
I mentioned on Pat's Fans that I thought the Baltimore game was the measuring stick game.
Yeah, yes.
And, kind of how, the season's kind of shaped out now. I'd agree with you, Kevin, that playing, our road struggles haven't really, I wouldn't say they're gone because, a few games doesn't make them go away. I'm still, nervous. I'm still, nervous about the entire team, but, I think that if we can go into Pittsburgh and win, I mean, that'd be a huge statement game.
No question.
That would be a huge game. I don't even think that I could describe how big of a game that would be. I think, I think we'll have a good advantage against the Colts because it will be colder. And finally we get to play, Peyton Manning back in Foxborough. I feel like it's been forever since they've come during the regular season and we were playing them in the winter, but it's been at least a few years. Am I wrong?
This is a weather game for the Colts. Is that what you're saying, coming here?
Yeah, I'm saying it. I mean, they haven't come to New England.
Right, yeah,
in,
we've
like,
been going
years,
there.
Correct?
Yeah, we've been going down there.
Generally, soft indoor teams fold when they come to Foxborough.
And we've seen Peyton Manning fold here, but...
Yeah. This is not Peyton's place.
The one thing I... Well done. Not really, but give yourself a rim shot. The one thing I will say is I think they could lose those games, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're done. Just because they're good football teams, the Colts and the Steelers, and the Patriots have maybe been playing slightly above their heads here, above the rim a little bit, and I think they're due to not make the key play at the key time at some point in this next stretch here, and... You may lose a game or two, and against
really,
good.
that really leads me to my, you know, a point I was going to make was, what you kind of just touched on, is as much as I love how much the defense has progressed, and I love it, and, you know, someone mentioned, like, I think it was one of the shows last week, that it's really special, instead of, you know, getting a bunch of nice free agent pickups, when you draft these guys and you kind of watch them progress, I love that. I'm not sure if you were on the show for that.
I don't think I was, but I think that's, I mean, that's a coach's dream. I mean, Bill Belichick's dream is to draft a guy and develop him.
Sorry, I'm sorry to whoever's listening. I forget. I can't give them credit for who's like, you know, comment that was. But, you know, it's a great one. You can kind of, if you draft these guys, you kind of watch them progress. And as a fan, it's really cool to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the only real concern I have about the team is even though, the offense has been really kind of, you know, pretty inconsistent, the only concern I have about with the defense is just that they're living dying on the turnovers, and that, you know, that's great because it's exciting to see, you know. But I don't.
Good football teams won't turn the ball over.
Right.
When you're playing,
it's hard to count on the opposition to always turn the ball over twice for you to win.
And we can all agree that they've kind of getting some gifts here. They've had some fluky bounces and fluky
plays
go their way.
They've taken advantage of some gifts.
Yes.
A lot of teams have not.
Taken advantage of other people's mental mistakes for the most part.
Right.
Or fundamental mistakes.
Yep.
Or, you know, and that's all a testament to Bill Belichick. And I you know, it's all coaching staff. It's all them getting prepared. You know, I give that all to the players. They're not making those mistakes.
Well, yeah, that's what I would say. It's the players and the coaches, because Bill Belichick was coaching the same way over the last few years, and I didn't see the Patriots getting those plays.
No.
You know, some of these guys weren't receptive to getting the information and taking advantage on the field, and I think this group of young players is showing that knack, that ability, that headiness, and it's a lot of them. It's McCourty, it's Cunningham, it's Ninkovich.
Prime example.
All
Eddie
of them.
Hart, prime example.
Yep.
Last
Chung is definitely stepped into you know, a solid cog in the defense. Now, I think we can all kind of agree, and I think – you know, I think I had a lot more hope than I think a few other people did for Brandon Merriweather. You know, and I do think he's played a little bit better since kind of being, you know, reprimanded, I guess the word would be, or I don't know what the word would be for his, like, hit a few weeks ago. I think his play was a little bit better.
I believe the word is fined and threatened with a suspension.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know how much better he's played. You know, I've always been kind of a wet blanket on Brandon Merriweather. Thanks for the call, by the way, Derek. Hit a home run out of the three spot in terms of the lineup of callers here on the AK-47 show here on Patriots.com.
The point I was trying to make to you, Andy, when you were relating this year's team to previous years,
I think
last year, if last year's Patriots team were put in the position that this year's was, the end of the first half, fourth and goal, half-yard line, I think the Vikings run it in there. I honestly do. I don't think last year's team would have been capable and tough enough to step up and make the play that this year's team made. I think that's part of the difference.
Yeah, this team feels different. It's one of those things you can't necessarily...
And they're starting to get that swagger about it.
Yes, no question, and that's something you can't necessarily pinpoint, put your finger on. Personnel guys, the greatest evaluators like Bill Belichick, I don't think they can, you know, pinpoint that.
I'm still worried about, I don't know...
There's no place on the scouting sheet that says it. Guy has it,
yeah,
and he's a +7 in it.
But Bill seems to find the guys that have it.
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Was he seeming to find them last year?
No.
When this team was wavering and failing to make plays on both sides of the ball?
He struck out last year on a few occasions.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Struck out. Last year was a strikeout year. This year, solid singles, some doubles. We'll see if he goes deep on a couple of these.
I'm still worried, though. We touched upon this, you, myself, and Paul did on PFW last week. The Patriots on the offensive side of the ball, their goal line offense, being able to convert the third and one, the fourth and one, you know, the fourth and goal from the half-yard line, being able to line up, put, you know, Lavoir or whatever his name is in the backfield.
Lavoir. Don't give it the Scalavino pronunciation, which he's the only guy who says it that way, not
even
the guy himself.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, put the offensive lineman in the backfield, run it down their throat, get the 6 inches or 2 feet that you need. I still want to see that going forward because – you know, we saw them struggle with it in training camp against their own sets, and we haven't really seen them. You know, they got down to a situation this past Sunday where
they were so confident in themselves this past week where they did two fake quarterback sneaks and decided they were going to punch it in on third down.
Yeah.
Did they do it?
They did it.
They did it. What more do you want? They did it.
Fair enough.
They did it against...
On one occasion. I want to see it.
What is it, the Williams Wall of Minnesota?
I want to see it more consistency, though.
Short yardage. Tom Brady, one of the best QB sneakers in the history of the game.
More consistency, short yardage from the backs.
Backs may not be all that consistent. You take what you get out of that committee backfield. I think the short yardage has been fine. I think it'll continue to be fine, especially as long as you have a tight end trio by the name of Hernandez, Gronkowski, and Crumpler that can block. Crumpler, by the way, one catch, 4 yards on the season, continues to be raved about by everyone for his blocking, his leadership. The guy does nothing that shows up in the stat sheets, but may be the most impressive player on this team and continues to wow people.
Another phone call, Andy.
I got to read a couple of emails, though.
You want to do emails first?
I'm going to make this guy wait a little bit. He's in the four spot. He's clean up, so
right,
we'll give him
right.
a minute.
We'll do,
take
we'll
some warm-up cuts there
first.
While you're... Can he hear me? How does that work?
Oh, he can hear you.
He can hear me. Take some warm-up cuts on there while you're really formulate what you want to say so we don't have to drag it out. Really get to those points and hammer it home. We don't have time for the fluff here on the AK-47 show. We're going to get to an email. Thanks, Kevin and Andy, for the extended play. This is from Sam in Chicago. I love how she signs it, if indeed she is a she, with double X double O. You like that, huh?
What does that mean?
That's hot.
Does
X's
that
and
mean
O's.
Like hugs and kisses?
Yeah.
Well, there's football X's and O's, and then there's hugs
no,
and kisses.
No, this is hugs and kisses X's and O's.
Did she put a winky face?
She's a little sultry.
A winky face?
Oh.
Or a smiley face?
She wants to see my winky face. Whoa, no, that's for PFW in Progress, not the AK-47 show. I salute you for keeping the Pats talk alive. An obscure question. Do you think Pittsburgh will have an advantage over the Patriots? Since
you
they...
should know. I got a little wiener.
Since they play 3 straight night games prior to the Pats coming to town.
What was that? Did you just run out
Pittsburgh
of
apparently plays 3 straight night games before we play them on Sunday night.
Let me research that.
Well, they definitely played Sunday night.
No, I know.
And they play that one. Is that an advantage? Kevin, this is where you need to chime in as the co-host. I ask you a question from an email, or you chime in with an opinion.
I don't know.
That's how this radio thing works.
I would have to see. I think they play, without looking anybody, I'm pretty sure they play this Sunday night.
I don't care if it's true or not.
No,
is
no,
it
no,
an
but
advantage?
But it also, I think it depends on who they play, Andy. I mean, if they're going and playing the Buffalo Bills.
Are you giving me
Bills,
the Bill Belichick answer?
No, yes.
No, yes.
But if they're going and playing the Bills and the Lions and whoever else, it doesn't really make a difference, I think. But if you're going,
I agree. They're playing the Patriots.
No, they're playing Cincinnati this Sunday.
No. They play every night.
I know.
Leading up to the Patriots game. The Patriots game is a night game. Is that an advantage? Oh boy! Now there's two monkeys behind the glass.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you?
No, not really.
No, I don't.
I think it's about the better team showing up on that night.
Yeah.
See, I just gave you a little bit of what you were. See what I did there? Yes. Did you take the machine gun sound effects from Sam?
No.
She sent in a WAV file.
That's awesome.
Machinegun.wave.
No, I did not take
that. Test it. See if it's better than your machine gun. But it might be better. If hers is better, I want to use hers.
Okay. I'll test it. I'll test it.
I like Sam. She's trying to contribute.
Well, she's flirting with you. That's why.
She flirts with Eric. Anybody that flirts with Eric, I would not get excited about her flirting with me.
Then we can totally, question with the fact whether it's a he or she.
That's why in the past I have. This is from Brian in New Mexico. The subject, the running offense. Andy and Kevin love this lineup. Andy is a great host, so damn most people in their feedback. I agree with you, Brian. Screw most people. I'm too much of a homer to nitpick. I still can't get over that. John Rook's show on Tuesdays is about nitpicking. Tuesday.
Nitpick Tuesday is what he calls it.
That's unbelievable. I got to start listening to this lineup more.
Isn't that what you do?
Going.
Don't you go back up to your cube and crank out a story or two and just listen to the rest of the lineup? No?
No.
Completely wrong.
I've never heard John Rook's show.
Wow.
I've been doing it at least a decade, probably. Never heard it.
Does Fred listen?
Occasionally, Fred is listening when I walk by his office.
You think Fred's listening right now? Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred. How are you? Send an email if you're listening. Our emails have really slowed down. Apparently, they don't like the second hour of the AK-47 show.
Well, maybe it's because we haven't really got to many of them.
I'm trying to read them. And by the way, you number 4 caller in the history of the AK-47 show. We'll get to you in just a minute. Stay tight there on hold. Again, really tighten up what you have to say so we can keep it quick. I do have a concern about the upcoming game with Cleveland. I think the Browns have the most underrated offensive line in the league, as evidenced by Jerome Harrison's league-leading rushing in the last few weeks of last year and the dominance of Peyton Hillis this year. The Pats' defensive front has been stunning. What is so loud in there? What are you guys playing? They're distracting me. I apologize to our listeners. I should be more professional than that. Pat's defensive front has been stunning in their success, but I'm not sure they have faced an offensive line clicking on all cylinders. other than the Jets, who made the Pats look terrible in the second half. Peterson is a great back, but the Vikes' offensive line is constantly getting punked, so I don't think holding Peterson somewhat in check really builds confidence about the Pats' front. Long way of saying, what do you think about the Browns' O-line versus the Pats' front? The Browns' offensive line is impressive. They have Steinbach, they have Joe Thomas. Kevin's just going to give me a blank face. Mister, I know football. I could do a whole show by myself for 2 hours. Has no idea who plays for the Cleveland Browns.
I absolutely do.
Thank you. They have a good veteran offensive line. But I still think without a quarterback, it doesn't
quarterback
matter.
Quarterback by committee never wins.
You can't hand the ball off. I don't care if it's Walter Payton, Gale Sayers in his prime, Emmitt Smith. Without a quarterback, people load up and can stop the run. It's that simple. And this Patriots team hasn't even shown that it needs to load up. We've talked about the solid play they've gotten from a variety of bodies on that defensive line, from Brandon Dedrick to Ron Brace to Mike Wright to the aforementioned Vince Wilfork, who's the centerpiece of it all.
I think they've proved when they absolutely have to stop the run, they can. And that's what they showed on Sunday. Okay.
Clearly, they decided they didn't have to in the first quarter when Peterson had 59 yards rushing.
It was the whole bend but don't break philosophy. How many points did they get out of all that?
Well, I don't think they were thinking, you know what, let's really bend
here. Of course you don't want to bend all the way down to the 1 foot line. And then...
I mean, you don't want to bend over.
No, you don't want to bend over.
See, that's PFW in progress. You can take Andy out of the PFW in progress, but you can't take the PFW in progress out of Andy. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to get to our fourth caller here in the history of the AK-47 program. Joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline is...
Marcus from D.C.
Marcus, my man, what's happening?
What's going on, Andy, in the AK-47 show?
So what do you think of the show so far, the first hour 45?
I'm loving it. It's real going nice and smooth. I always like Kevin on the Rook Show, so I've been hoping that you all let him talk a little more doing PFW.
No, that won't happen. That won't happen. We're not doing it. Sorry.
There's too many voices to yell over.
I missed the show earlier, so I'm not even sure if this subject has been broached. But what if Randy does not? Because I don't think he's going to make it through waivers.
Really?
What if he doesn't show up? What if he says, I'm not showing up to St. Louis or to Seattle? What happens then?
Then he will be placed on that team's reserve did not report list, and his career may be over.
So there's no way, huh?
No, I mean, I guess that team could then decide to release him, but if I were that team, I would say, I'm not going to continue to play games. I'm not going to continue to bow down to Randy Moss. That team can just place him on reserve, did not report, and I really think that would also be the end of his career. I don't think he has a lot of chances left. If he gets picked up somewhere, I think he needs to go be the good soldier, regardless of where it is or how much he doesn't want to be there.
Interesting. And what did we have to say about wanting him back if he so did make it through waivers?
I do. Kevin does.
I do as well.
And it's interesting. on PFW in progress, Fred and Paul do not want him back. They do not think it's worth the trouble, and they don't think the offense needs him, that it's getting better.
It's kind of interesting, the young wave.
Yeah, it's younger wants Moss back.
Younger versus older.
The old coots that are losing their hair.
The old coots are just stuck in their ways.
That's right.
You know,
stubborn old coots.
That's right. But, you know, the second half here of our radio show here at the AK-47 show on Patriots.com really seems like fans would take him back. And to me, I look at it as a business decision. I was told when he left by everyone involved, Randy Moss, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, that it was a business decision. There were no hard feelings. There was respect and love in both directions. So bring him back as a business decision. He makes
Absolutely.
Your team better. It's cheap. Just do it.
It's the biggest gift of all time.
That's right. You could literally, in our fantasy world here, you could add a Pro Bowl left guard in Logan Mankins, who rejoined the team today and could be on the field, who knows, as early as Cleveland or Pittsburgh.
You can have your cake and eat it, too.
Yes, and then you add an all-pro receiver like Randy Moss. You already have Deion Branch. You got him back. Why not?
It's plus like that third-round pick in our pocket.
Plus a third-round pick in your pocket.
Sounds like a great deal to me.
It's like some teams at the trade deadline will get guys back from the PUP or whatever,
yes.
And they'll be like, that's just like making a great
trade.
It's like an upgrade.
Same thing. This is an upgrade. You'd be upgrading your offense significantly. A Pro Bowl guard, an all-pro receiver. Why not?
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
All right, see you, Marcus.
Yep.
Peace out. That was D.C.
D.C. in the house, representing.
That's nice. We're big in D.C. Did I ever tell you a waitress in D.C. once said I looked like Matt Damon? What do you think about that? Now you're texting while doing a radio show, while answering the phone, while reading emails, while controlling the board.
It's tough. I don't.
You actually have done a pretty decent job. I was basing it on your history with the PFW in progress, where just focusing on getting the microphones on and getting the show running, you struggled a bit early in your career.
Yeah. Just learning a bunch of new equipment, and then the new equipment got swapped out.
You printed out an email for me, so I'm assuming it's a good one.
Well, it seemed like the most, it's one of the most more recent ones.
Okay, this is Jay Hallworth. You're right, 3:45 p.m., very recent. Subject, best show ever, Jay the Jags fan. That's a tough, tough living right there.
Yes, it is. I give him credit, though, because those people down there aren't that many of them that are willing to.
Good news is you can always get tickets if you're Jay the Jags fan. Hey, Big Head and Kevin, you two should be a full-time replacement for Rook. Okay, enough fluffing. On to my question. When do you think we'll see Freddie T on the field? I have absolutely no idea. And I actually liked Bill Belichick's answer about that the other day.
Wasn't that classic?
And he basically said, next time you get a cough or the flu or something, I'll ask you when you're going to be perfectly fine. And you give me a date. And you better be right, because I'm going to hold you to it.
And then it was great because Tom Curran's comeback was, you'll have to wait till Wednesday when the report comes out.
When my health report comes out?
That got a great chuckle out of Coach.
I mean, he's right, though. Look at me. I've been dealing with something for a month and a half now. I don't know when it's going to be better.
The difference is, Andy, you're playing through it. You're manning up. You're still showing up.
Sort of.
You're still showing up with your lunch pail every day.
Sort of. I missed the trip to San Diego. I'm questionable for Cleveland.
I think sort of playing through.
I've decided I know why we stopped getting emails.
Why?
Well, despite the fact that my little thing says you have new email, it's not actually updating in my box.
Weird. Did you click the refresh button?
No. Should I?
Try it on the top of the browser there.
Just you told me to, so if I lose all emails.
Well, then I can just come fix it.
Oh, man, we got a million emails.
I know. We got a lot of emails.
Holy crap. The AK-47 show, Moss. This is from Andrew Wilson.
I've been trying to tell you this for the record.
Literally, I had like five left, and I'm thinking, we're going to run out of emails before the show ends.
No, we're not. We could go for another 3 hours.
No, my voice couldn't.
No,
I've been talking for 4 hours straight. I'm like a real radio host today.
I know. You're sucking it up. I appreciate it.
I'm carrying the team. Carrying.
Yeah, you are.
And by the
That's why your letter's first, though.
The AK-47 program here, Andy Hart, Kevin Collins, will take you up to the 4 o'clock hour when we'll be joined. Well, not joined because I'm leaving, but...
Pete Shepard.
Pete Shepard and
the
Pete Shepard Show.
He's in the house.
Does a tremendous job, and I can only imagine how excited Pete is right now.
He's probably
not just the 6-1 Patriots atop everyone's power rankings except Fred Kirsch's, of course, where he has them in the 2 slot behind the Steelers, but also the Moss talk. I know he wasn't always the biggest Moss fan, didn't always want him here, and now he sees the turmoil that is Randy Moss for a couple different teams. Be interesting to get his take on Randy Moss, and I want people to make sure he tells him, would he take Randy Moss back? Would he bring Moss back to this offense on the cheap if he clears waivers? Make sure you tie Pete Shepard down and get an answer from him. Until then, Andrew from Oklahoma. So what's the deal with the AK-47 show? I went to the site to catch the tail end of the replay of PFW in progress, and this is playing? Is this going to be a regular thing or what? I'm liking it. Keep up the good work. No, it will not, sir.
Yeah.
We will never do this again.
Thanks.
Well, maybe. Well, maybe a couple times. I mean, Rook has these things pop up every once in a while, right?
No, he does quite a bit, but I don't know. I'm having fun.
Now, do I get paid extra for this?
You'd have to negotiate that with Fred.
Really clear.
And clearly, since your letter comes first, you would have kind of the...
I'd make more.
You would have the leverage
in
negotiations,
top billing.
I think.
Yeah, I'm the A. No one wants to hear the K-47 show. That makes no sense.
You have your A game. That's what you...
Now, A-47 makes sense.
Yes.
Oh, geez, another caller. I get emails. You take care of that. I'll read this. It's me, Brooklyn Matt. Oh, that's the low SAT score guy. Andy, I'm intently listening to your hack show. You're on double secret probation with me. Laugh out loud. Geez, Sam from Chicago gives you some nice X's and O's, and you start talking about your wiener. Did I mention my wiener? I don't recall.
You should know I got a little wiener.
No, that's called a drop-in. I didn't actually say it. Well, I said it once, but I didn't say it today.
Did. That's great production is what it is.
I didn't make any wiener jokes. We raised the bar here at the PFW, AK-47 show. PFW in Progress is the show from noon to 2. It gets a bit risque, a little dirtier. But well job.
Still with me?
Good job. I can hear you. Your mic's
right.
on.
Who is this again?
I can hear you. Your mic's on.
John from New Hampshire?
We just spiraled out of control.
Okay,
sorry listeners. I apologize for that. That was Kevin answering the phone with his mic on.
That's me. I'm sorry. That's what happens.
Well, Brooklyn Matt, I appreciate the email. I've had too many 5-hour energy drinks today. That may be true. It's actually just the fact that I am drinking a lot of Diet Coke. Got a little tickle, and I don't want to have the coughing breakout. Now your mic is not on, you clown. What happened?
You
made it an hour and 50 minutes. I was praising you. You were juggling all the balls in front of you. You did a tremendous job with every ball that flew up in front of your face, and you just dropped the ball.
Have you pounded that whole bottle, that whole 2 liters?
No. That
Perillo's going to be upset.
No, Paul drank half that.
He's going to be upset.
That's Jay the Jags fan. Why are we getting so many emails? I can't keep up with this.
Me neither. And we've had more calls than we've had in PFW.
Another caller?
Yeah, Sean in New Hampshire.
All right, we're going to go back. I believe this is the fifth caller in the history of the AK-47 show here on Patriots.com. Sean from north of the border, not Canada, but just New Hampshire. Sean, what's up?
Hey, man, I just want to say it's a great show. I'm glad you actually finally got your own spot. And I just want to comment about the upcoming game, Cleveland.
Yep. What do you think?
I just think that Belichick's going to stick it to Mangy.
I do, too. I think that's one of the factors in this game. Beyond Patriots playing well, no quarterback for the Browns, he will go to his deathbed trying to never, ever lose to Eric Mangini again. And especially going into Cleveland, where he was kind of run out of town there, you know, pulled out from underneath him by Modell
The
old ownership there in the Cleveland Browns. I think that's a big factor in this game. He tries to win every week. He tries a little harder this week, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a trick play like he did when we went to Denver and beat Shanahan on Monday night.
Yes, I would definitely say that the playbook could be opened up a little bit this week, because I think you may have to match the Cleveland Browns. They open up their playbook a little bit. They run trick plays. They obviously have Joshua Cribbs. They obviously have the fake punt they ran a couple weeks ago with Brad Seeley. That whole coaching staff of the Browns is ex-Patriot players, ex-assistants for Bill Belichick. As I said, I think he tries to win every week. I think he tries just a little percentage point harder when he faces Eric Mangini and Brad Seeley and the Browns this week.
Yeah, and add the fact that, you know, Colt McCoy, he probably hasn't played a defense like this yet. I mean, Belichick can change with his different packages this year. It seems like a lot easier, even from the last couple years, like the undefeated season.
Yeah, I agree with you. And thanks for being the fifth caller in the history of what will probably be a short-lived AK-47 show, since we made it up at about 1:55 when we found John Rook was not going to be here today.
We're getting a lot of positive feedback.
We are. All these emails. Look, we got AK-47, best show ever. AK-47, love the show. AK-47, it's catching on. Are we doing a crossover here with our good friend Pete Shepard?
Absolutely.
Why?
There's only so many Texas losses one man can take.
That's true.
He is a psycho Texas fan. I actually,
insane, yeah.
I'm jealous of him. The passion he brings to that, I wish I had that for something. I don't.
I told him last, he goes, I think we're going to have trouble with Baylor. I said, John, last week, I said, you're going to lose to Baylor.
Yes.
I said, Baylor's good, you know?
Yes.
You know, after the, I don't know how they beat Nebraska, but then they crap out against Iowa State. They lose to Baylor.
I was watching that Baylor Texas game. And I actually had the balls to text Rook right at the end of the game.
Oh, you got to text him. I text him all the time.
You're busting him.
Oh,
yeah.
He had a few expletives to put in there at the end. It was
poor Rook. Everybody taking shots at him when they're down.
Oh yeah.
Now, the opposite end of that spectrum is you. You got to be loving life right now.
Hey, everything's going great. I mean, you know, you come into, this is like, what, the fourth week in a row is something dramatic. It's not even
huge.
About, the game was like secondary.
Right.
And there's enough to talk about in the game that's impressive enough the last 4 weeks. But my God, the drama and, you know, Randy Moss dismissed because of being a food critic. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, the Patriots are dominating the NFL basically in all areas right now. They're the best team at 6-1. And, yeah. Scandal-wise and trades and intrigue, and they're at the center of it all
great.
With Randy Moss.
It's great, but it's in a positive way they're the center of it all. They're not like, you know, Brett Favre and, you know. And Zolak's going to be on with us at 4:15.
That's awesome.
And I heard him earlier this week on the Sports Hub talking about, you know, he saw Favre get wheeled past him. And I'm sure maybe you did too down there, but, you know.
I have some good stories.
He basically thought he was, you know, ready to seriously, seriously hurt. And then
five minutes later,
you know, I've been healed, my brother.
Yeah.
I've been healed.
With no blood on the chin.
Nothing.
He's just got like one of those little Band-Aid Steri-Strips.
Imagine Brett Favre if he played hockey.
No, he couldn't. He is the all-time great drama queen.
He's literally the top of the list. He's just so
he's
sick
had a great career, Hall of Fame career, put up big numbers. But the bottom line is, he's made a mockery.
Yeah.
He's become a caricature of himself.
He really has. It's an embarrassment. And but you know, between Childress's comments last week about bringing up Spygate and Brett Favre and Randy Moss and, you know, Patriots win by 10. Moss gets one catch. Childress is going to get fired.
Okay, Pete, we got to ask you, because this is officially, we're not quite to the Pete Shepard show yet. We're still on the AK-47 show.
On the AK-47, that's right.
And on the AK-47 show, if you're going to speak, you have to answer the question.
All right, I will.
Would you or wouldn't you take Randy Moss back on your team?
Would? Yeah.
Wow, you just stunned me.
Yeah.
We're the three amigos right now.
And explain your reasoning.
I just think he adds a different dynamic. Now, With that being said, that's assuming that Belichick thinks he's not going to be a complete distraction, which, you know, I mean, that would have to be it. But I mean, that love fest, I mean, didn't you, when I was watching that press conference on Sunday, after, I mean, Moss's press conference, everything else was irrelevant.
Right.
It really was. I mean, it was as fascinating as the game was. But didn't you turn the, I turned to some friends and I said, I was like, Seinfeld, how long have I been out? What year is this? I mean,
it was amazing.
I could not believe it, what I was hearing. I said, is this somebody's making this
bizarre
up?
Bizarre. I thought his one after the Bengals was bizarre. This was 10 times more bizarre.
I could hear Burton Cackle in the background of the press conference. No, he wasn't. But I mean, you could,
Channel
4 was watching. But I mean, it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
And I thought it was raw. You know, I thought it came from his heart. I thought it was the guy who was truly realizing, I effed up.
Well, you could see
that. I didn't know what I had.
And you could see that on the sideline
yes.
before that even, right at the end of the game. Between Brady and Belichick and that love fest that happened, you know, it was like a 1960s powwow out
yes.
there, you know?
And that's why I would take him back, because I think he's a little bit of a broken man who would come crawling back to you saying, I just want to be with you guys. I'll be perfect.
Just
you
wants
won't
to,
have to
worry. I think it's a long shot probably, because I just have a, I got to believe that the reason why he was released from the team or traded is because he was becoming some sort of a distraction for some of the younger players. And
yes.
I don't know. Now, maybe they reconcile that. I don't know. Is it possible? Yeah. Is it likely? Probably not. But I'd certainly take a shot at it.
But all we heard when he left was business decision. You know, we heard Bill Belichick, Tom Brady,
yep.
Robert Kraft say, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing personal.
Yep.
We all still love Randy Moss. Randy
yep.
Moss loves us.
Yep.
Well, now the business decision feels like bring him back. He crawls back on a veteran minimum deal?
Yes.
Why not?
That's assuming nobody takes him off waivers,
right.
which
if
I don't
waivers.
I think half the teams are out anyway. So
I
mean, we're down to, I think more than half are out. I think we're talking maybe 10 or 11 teams
right.
tops.
Right. I think you're talking about maybe some middling teams that are at 4-4 and they say, you know what?
Yeah.
If we can get a spark out of Moss, maybe we can have a run here.
But you know, Jerry Jones is dumb enough to probably take, even though they have no chance to make the playoffs, he's dumb enough to probably do something.
He
wouldn't shock me.
And
Washington.
I won't be shocked if he gets claimed. I won't.
No, it won't shock me.
But if he
me.
Clears waivers, I would consider it. And
yeah.
I think Moss wants to, I mean, clearly
I think so.
He wants to come back.
I think so.
He said it for 4 minutes, basically, please take me back.
I think they'll consider it. Will it happen? Probably a long shot still, but you know what? You just don't know with this organization.
You do never know. And if he comes back, I'm saying it, the greatest sports story I've covered. Most unbelievable, bizarre sports story I've ever covered.
Crazy. You're right. I mean,
traded away, and a month later he's back after the team you traded him to released him.
Talk about is it possible. I mean, unbelievable.
If somebody brought that up in the summer in an email on this show, I would have mocked him. I would have said that's stupid.
You can't make it up. National Enquirer, even though they're going bankrupt and going out of business. But I mean, that would be like front page on the Enquirer.
No question. You know? That's Pete Shepard. He's up next from 4 to 6 p.m. here on Patriots.com radio with the Pete Shepard Show.
Scott Zolak, by the way, will join us at around 4:15, 4:30.
Scott Zolak.
And Vic Vino Carucci in the 5:15 hour for NFL.com.
Good tease.
Star studded two-hour Pete Shepard Show.
That's only for the, you know.
Kevin Collins, would you like to say anything after making your debut here on Patriots.com radio?
I had a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it as well. Emailers seem to love it. And from what I'm getting, the litmus test, the sampling, they want Moss back.
Yeah, they want us back, too.
They want us back, too. Send in emails. Tell Fred Kirsch you want more of the AK-47 show. Until next time, if there is indeed a next time, for Kevin Collins, I'm Andy Hart. Take care.
Peace out.
So, Pat, how many AAdvantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn AAdvantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn AAdvantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/AAdvantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price.